Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
And welcome back, folks, to Streets on the Radio, live on this February 15th. What am I doing? 13th. I'm going backwards in time. It's February 15th, 2012, right here on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. And it's been a slow news day. It's the part that's been driving me the most crazy because it's been really, really slow. I've even had to rehash old news in order to make it somewhat interesting. So what am I supposed to say? I mean, what am I supposed to do? And it's just one of those things that you sort of have to just deal with. So when you can't get the news, you have to make the news yourself. You know, go out there and, create some mayhem, which is what I normally do. And of course, I'm always on the air with Mary, Mary, Why You Bugging? And we've got plenty of other stuff to go into. The story that I need to get into today, and I'll probably wait until a little later to get into it, is to talk about the Barack Obama health care plan that is getting a lot of traction today because the Supreme Court is buzzing about the Obama mandate with health care. And it was unfortunate that today that Obamacare got sort of levied a very serious blow, which, you know, I personally believe that it was time for it to happen. The truth about Obamacare needed to come out, and we'll discuss that as we go on. One of the things that I talked about yesterday and I found very, very odd and disturbing was why is it that this administration and liberals in general believe that they are incapable, or you are incapable, of running your own lives, that they're smarter than you? They're the smartest people in the room, and you cannot manage your lives without government intervention. They believe now that the world has run such amok that now they need to come in and fix it. That they don't realize that their liberalism has caused the country to be at the state that it is. Now they believe that what you need is the government to come in and save you in all aspects of your life. And the government would want nothing more than to make sure that you were dependent on it and followed its guidelines, because they know what's best. And I've said that 1,000 times. Nothing could be truer than the story we talked about yesterday. The story we talked about yesterday about this school official who said that parents do not know what's best for their child. And even one of the committee members kind of gave a, wow, so parents don't know what's best for their child. And she tries to, I think, tries to step it back, but only ends up reaffirming her comment by saying, I didn't say they didn't have the greatest intentions. but they do not know. And that's a very strong word. I have a saying. I said, belief is for people who lack knowledge. You know, I believe in something. I believe this is right. I believe this. So belief is no confirmation. There's no certitude. Belief is for people who lack knowledge. And so if a woman says that she knows, this woman says she knows, or, pardon me, that she knows and parents do not know, that is a, I would say that's not a blanket statement, but I'd say it was a statement made with certitude, that parents do not know what's best for their child, and we, the educated, the enlightened, the brilliant, oh, don't worry about it, that's just the phone ringing in the background, that those people know better than you do. And these school officials are out there saying that that's the case, that they know better than you, and you don't know squat. Now, again, as I talked about it yesterday, that this is there's proof of this in them knowing better than your child. JC, do we have the audio of the story of the young girl? Okay, we'll play that. Let's play the story and then let the people decide for themselves.
Okay, now, hold on, because we have two stories that pertains to it. Are we talking about the one from the government knows what's best for your kids?
No. We play the audio of the story that sort of reconfirms what we played yesterday, and this is the story of the preschooler.
Okay, hold on. No, that one's coming off the press right now as we speak.
Okay, no problem. Anyway, the bottom line was that government officials have said that they can now tell what is and what isn't appropriate for your children. And for it to go so far that the food police would end up at your child's school, go through their belongings, and tell them that what they had for lunch was inappropriate, and then give them food in replacement of a food given to you by your mother. Or your father, whomever it is, may be taking care of you. But the bottom line is that some official would come in and say, hey, your mommy don't know squat, dear little girl. What's this you got in your lunch bag? Oh, we don't appreciate that. You can't eat that food. We've got the proper food for you. And when you find out what it is that they replaced the food with, that's even more astonishing. And I don't have to tell you, everyone's seen the story. Everyone's heard the story. JC, if you got it, please just play it. Let it go. Let it fly. Okay, maybe we're not ready yet. Hasn't downloaded yet, Jay?
Yeah, it's processes. It's in the upload process as we speak, sir.
Oh, okay. No problem. So,
I don't know if you have any second now.
As soon as we have it, we'll play. The part that I find even more astonishing is that the reporter is actually being called a liar on the story, which I find even funnier. And this story broke today. Please tell me a process by now. I'm dragging this. I'm dragging it off. Hopefully, somewhere near. Kind of close.
Can we get an update?
Boogity woogity.
Yeah, you're checking with me. No, it's processing. You know,
okay, there we go. Let's play.
We told you about this yesterday. A little girl is given chicken nuggets by her school after being told the lunch her mother made for her wasn't healthy enough. It was a turkey sandwich, a banana, potato chips, and an apple juice. And while some of the details remain unclear, what is clear is that the food police are very, very real. Joining us now is Sarah Burroughs of the Carolina Journal. She broke this story. Sarah, we got so much feedback from our viewers on this yesterday. So the little girl goes that she's 4, turkey sandwich, banana, apple juice, and a bag of chips. Who's looking at her lunch and the other lunches of the children?
We're still trying to determine exactly who the state employee was. We do know that it was an agent from the Department of Health and Human Services.
At the North Carolina level.
Right, the state level. And according to the school principal, a division within the department comes to their school every year to evaluate their More at Four pre-kindergarten program. And as part of the evaluation, they look at students' lunches that are brought from home to make sure they meet USDA guidelines. And this school, we are told, lost points this year because too many children were bringing their lunches from home and they did not meet, according to this inspector, the USDA guidelines. And I've been trying to determine from the department this morning who exactly that agent was, and they said that they are trying to get to the bottom of it.
All right, so this program is Moratorium. It's a North Carolina state program, but it is funded by federal stimulus dollars, and the schools now need to comply with this, you know, USDA guidelines and so on. So essentially what this does is it gives the school, correct me if I'm wrong, or the state, the power to overrule mom and dad. So if you know what your kid likes to eat and you send them to school with that lunch, if the school disapproves and doesn't think it meets the standards, they can overrule you on what's going to go in your child's mouth.
Well, ultimately, the children can eat what their parents packed for them. But if they do not have the four food groups, they are supposed to be supplemented with the items that they're missing. And in this case, the children were given cafeteria trays and told that their lunches, you know, didn't meet the standards. And a four-year-old child's not going to know what that means. They're going to think my lunch isn't good. So in this case, the little girl chose to eat what was on her tray.
Which was chicken nuggets as opposed to a turkey sandwich, which is just insane to me, right? I mean, it's like, in what
world
is chicken
nuggets
better for
anything else?
Right, so now you've actually spoken with the mother, and the mother doesn't want to come out publicly because she doesn't want her child to be ridiculed or have any backlash against her as a result of all this. How upset was this family?
Upset enough that the mother and the grandmother both contacted their state representative and complained that they are being charged for this lunch, and now the grandmother tells me this morning that the little girl has been buying a little box of milk ever since. Because her apple juice that she normally brings is not sufficient to meet the standard. The grandmother is still working with the state representative. They haven't paid for the milk yet. She's been told that there's a $5 credit put on her account. She's not sure where that comes from, but she says that the bill will be coming for the milk that she's been drinking each day.
Now, the state, the North Carolina Division of Child Development and Early Education, has said, we did not have an employee or a contractor on site who is involved in replacing any child's lunch. The principal says this is all taken out of context and essentially the story's all wrong. Your response to that?
That was a lie.
Find out. I just had to find out if that worked. So the bottom line is that the poor little girl had her lunch confiscated. She had her lunch confiscated by a school official who's supposed to be working for Health and Human Services, who's in the school at the time. She inspects the girl's school lunch like the girl is going through customs at the airport. And she's told, what do you got in here, little girl? Oh, it's a turkey and cheese. What's that, a banana? What's that? Oh, apple juice and some potato chips. No good. No diet.
Not even a bag of potato chips. What she did was take a small little pinch and put them inside of like a Ziploc bag.
Yes, some potato chips. There's no trans fat in them anymore because that rule's been changed. And hold on to your horses. Now, they say the four major food groups, and this is what the school department says. The school department says you're supposed to have in your lunch. You're supposed to have two fruits or vegetables, meat, okay? Meat, two fruits or vegetables, okay? Where did she not have two fruits, a meat? Oh, and dairy. She had a turkey and cheese with a banana and apple juice, and the apple juice is considered part of a fruit. So she had a banana and an apple. She had dairy for the cheese, and she had meat with the turkey.
But where did they come up with chicken nuggets is better than a turkey sandwich?
Very good question.
Were they breaded fried chicken nuggets?
And I don't know. Now, see, I was very, very hesitant to look this up because I have to be honest with you. I didn't want to be wrong. But, JC, I have to ask you to do this because it's important. This is a four-year-old sandwich, a four-year-old turkey sandwich. Is there a way that we can compare the calorie count in the three or four chicken McNuggets that she had versus the turkey and cheese? Because I'm sure the cheese is going to be a considerable amount of calories.
But one slice of cheese is good for you.
Well, yeah, I'm sure, but...
It's not about caloric. It is about caloric intake at a point, but it's more about fat content.
Well,
it's
yeah.
It's more about,
But chicken McNugget is
but
made...
But why did they take the apple juice, the banana... I can't even see why they took any of it. If your parents gave you that lunch, that's what they want you to eat. They are your parents. You are their child. How can some lunch lady say, no, this is not good for you. You need to eat this.
Mary, the story gets worse than that.
Oh, my God.
The story gets worse than that.
It can't.
Yes, it does.
It can't.
Let me tell you something. First of all, they told her she couldn't eat her lunch. So it's a four-year-old girl that's told her lunch is wrong.
Which basically is saying your mother's an idiot.
Yeah, oh, your mother. Yeah,
your mother's trying
wrong.
To poison you.
Right, exactly. My lunch is no good? No, sweetheart, your lunch is no good. Oh, my God. Your lunch is no good, little girl. Now I've got doubts about mom. Now, let's start with that one, okay? No. It gets worse. They send the little girl back. No, they send her to the lunch tray. They supplement her meal by giving her corn, these chicken McNuggets, and something else. They send her to it. She doesn't eat the rest of the stuff. She doesn't want to eat it. She just eats three chicken McNuggets. It gets worse. They send the little girl home with the lunch that her mother packed with a note and a bill for the lunch they fed her for $1.25.
Here you go. Here's your invoice.
Yes, exactly. Now go back home and tell mommy, if we do it again, we'll send you another ticket. Okay? This is costing us. All right? You come in here with some money and you eat our food, okay? Tell mommy, don't bring your lunch no more. Okay? Here's your bill, sweetheart. So the little girl got sent home a tab like she just came from Chuck E. Cheese and had to pay the bill. How disgusting is that? Now they're saying they know nothing about it. No, they know nothing
about it. What do you mean they know nothing about it?
The school officials are saying they're investigating. But Health and Human Human Services, we don't know nothing about it. We don't know anything about any HSS person there.
My biggest question is, when were chicken nuggets still any better for you than anything that little girl had in her little brown paper bag?
I don't know. JC, we get any luck on chicken nuggets versus a turkey sandwich? I'm sure the turkey sandwich is probably a lot more calories.
But it's healthier.
But it's
turkey is better
I'm
for
sure
you than
that
chicken.
It is. I'm sure that it is. It is probably a better meal.
And it was probably on wheat bread.
Probably. Mom's probably very conscientious about that kind of stuff. JC, did we get anything, or are you still looking?
If you have certain things that your children can eat, why wasn't this part of the school supply list in the beginning of the year? Why didn't they have?
Oh no, it was. No, it is there. When you go into the school, they have this. This is in every school. It's there every year. Every year, the nutritional
of what you can pack for your kids.
See, that's the thing. Now, again, but what happened over the past 3 years? What's happening over the last 3 years?
Well, we know. Michelle Obama has gone crazy.
There you go. The initiative for a healthier diet for children in school.
But so why do they have chicken nuggets on the menu?
Look, I just watched a video of Jamie Oliver, right? The Jamie Oliver Experience. Now, he went all over these American schools and was trying to tell these kids.
This is that British guy,
yeah,
right?
British guy. Yeah. Telling. But I saw a video of him in London. Now, I was going to get the audio and play it. But I didn't know this. In England, they're allowed to curse on a regular basis. So he's using an F word like it's nothing on his show.
We want you to eat healthy, but you can eat it and say the F word
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So that I found extremely odd.
Have a clean belly and a dirty mouth.
Yeah, exactly. Clean belly, dirty mouth. You're absolutely right. The scary part about this whole thing, so I watched the Jamie Oliver thing, and Jamie Oliver had a thing on chicken nuggets, and he puts the food down. He puts chicken nuggets down, and then he puts some fruits and vegetables down. And he asked about good 7-8 kids, little boys, and he said, which one would you rather eat? And the little boys go, the chicken nuggets. We like the chicken nuggets. And he goes, let me explain to you what's in the chicken nuggets. And he takes the bone fragments of the chicken nuggets. He says, and he puts them in a blender. And the little kids go, ew, that's disgusting. And then he says, and then we're going to take some chicken. This is the chicken skins. We're going to blend that up as well. And we'll blend it. And he takes that and pours it into a pourri. And he says, that goes in there as well. And so we'll take some fat. We'll take some butter. We'll put that in there. And he goes, and that's what it is. And the little kid goes, so you're saying it's fake food? It's like, yeah, it's fake food. Now, Jamie Oliver was allowed to go to all of these schools in America and talk about how kids are being, how they're eating fake food. But Health and Human Services gives this four-year-old, four chicken nuggets and says it's better than mama's turkey sandwich with some cheese.
And could it really have been like, was it the money thing, $1.25?
Well, I
guess if you do that to... you know, 500-600 kids a day.
No. The story gets worse.
Oh, God.
You didn't think the story got worse? It gets worse. She's not allowed to bring apple juice anymore, so they're giving her milk with her lunch. It gets better. And they're sending her mother a bill.
Yeah, I know. I heard that milk. Part.
No. They actually gave her a $5 credit.
Oh, they gave her a $5 credit, but once it's over, she's got to start paying for it.
Once she goes over that, yeah, she has to pay for it.
Yeah,
they gave her
a $5 credit for the embarrassment. So now, taking the little girl's lunch, she's only worth $5.
A $5 credit for that, for basically telling your child that you're stupid, you don't know how to pack
a lunch.
Your mama's stupid.
You
know nothing about nutrition.
Your mama is stupid.
Your mama's trying to poison you.
JC,
she is $5.
Do you have the numbers on the chicken McNugget versus the turkey sandwich?
Well, four chicken nuggets is 192 calories.
And how many grams of fat?
The grams of fat in a chicken nugget, we're talking saturated fat, we're talking 3%.
Yeah, but what is it in grams-wise? Does it tell you?
Total fat in grams. So I can't get a handle on this because they 0.0644 grams of saturated fat. They break it down between saturated, poly, and mono.
Okay, so how much saturated?
0.0644.
Okay, about the turkey sandwich? Does the turkey sandwich have more calories?
Yeah, turkey sandwich are 230 calories.
So 230 calories versus 136, you said?
Yeah, but how many of those calories are from fat? And that is what is the most important
thing.
That is
the most important thing?
Yeah.
I don't do the calorie count thing. I don't know.
Well, anything under 5% of fat is okay for you.
Okay.
It's not bad for you. So you can have something that's 530 calories, but if only 100 of those calories are from fat, then it's okay. But if more than half of those calories are from fat, then it's not okay.
Right. The higher the fat content that gives the calories, the worse off it is.
See, I don't know much about the whole calorie content thing. Okay, so, again, you said...
That came from Living Strong, Lance Armstrong Foundation,
so
that information.
So
Is that the foundation out of Georgia?
I would say pretty trusted.
Is that the foundation that they came up with in Georgia, though, with the fat cake commercials and ads and stuff? Live Strong?
Live Strong?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It's just Live Strong.
Okay,
so the bottom line is, and give me the two counts. So we're saying that the chicken McNuggets was 100 and what?
190.
192.
And the turkey sandwich was
230. Right.
Okay, so not a major disparity in the caloric intake, but
no.
Sadly enough, giving that young little girl.
That's
too much chicken nuggets. Oh, sorry. Anyway, the point is, I'm sorry. That was just an inside joke. Sadly enough, the fact is that this young lady. God, fuck this young lady. This little girl, four-year-old girl, is forced to take in three chicken McNuggets. She doesn't eat the food that her mother makes her because pretty much she's embarrassed into even eating it. She's probably pretty much told she can't eat it on the premises, like she's breaking the law. They send her home with her mother's food. They send her mother a letter, a strongly worded letter, which pretty much says, hey, dumbass, you don't know how to feed your kid. She had 3 chicken McNuggets, and she feels better.
I'm really confused by this.
And,
because...
and a bill. Here's a bill for $1.25 because we had to feed your kid, you embarrassing sloth.
You mule.
Don't come back here with any more turkey sandwiches on cheese with apple juice and bananas and your little potato chips, okay? You want to make your kid healthy, you do what it is that we tell you to do, and that is you fill the kid up on chicken McNuggets and buy a Lunchable from Oscar Mayer, why don't you? You worthless sloth. That's what they sent her. And they sent that crab. They sent that crab ass a bill to go along with it. And a poor little 4-year-old girl goes home and says, Mommy, your food sucks. And then mommy's got to force a 4-year-old to eat other weird stuff. And like, it's not difficult enough to feed a 4-year-old. But of course, play the other audio of the school teacher who says that they know better than your parents. They know better than parents. They said it themselves. She's got good intentions, but they don't know. They don't know. You have that audio?
Yeah, explain.
We do, you know, educators go through education for a reason. They are the people who know best about how to serve children. That's not necessarily true of an individual resident. I'm not saying they don't want the best for their children, but they may not know what actually is best from an education standpoint.
Wow. Parents don't know what's best for their child.
I said they may want what's best for their child. They may not know.
And that's pretty much what she had to say. They may not know. And this is a perfect example of that. They may not know. The parents may not know. So it's up to educated. The elite ones, the educated ones, the ones who went to college. We know how to feed your kids. We don't have any. We don't have any kids. We never bore any children because we believe in abortion. We're quick to abort our children.
Oh,
we abort our children, and then we go through the system teaching you how to raise yours. Oh, no, we don't want any children. We want contraception because we're career people. We're out there on the front lines doing the work that housewives don't have the courage to do. We're out here to protect you, you little ninny. You sit at home pretending that you're taking care of kids, but we're out there on the front line fighting for women's power. That's why we don't get pregnant. We're not barefoot and pregnant. We know better than you. We learn about kids. We don't have them. We learned people. We learn what children need. We don't have any and actually experience the actual childbirthing or the actual work it takes to raise a child. We just learn what it is that children do, and then we tell you who goes out there and gets pregnant and deals with the 19 days of labor and raising that kid on a 24-hour level, and we come in and we swoop in and we say, hey, there'll be no turkey sandwiches on my damn watch. Chicken McNuggets for you and yours. And that's a fact. Come on, James. Help me out here. We got Kool-Aid Man on the phone. Come on, James. You know what's up. You talked about the elites yesterday. And you heard what that woman said. They just don't know.
Yeah, I did. And the elites, and I will say again, the elites are on all sides. All sides. There's always, you're always going to find someone who thinks they know more than you.
Who are these people?
And it doesn't matter if they're liberal. It doesn't matter if they're conservative. It doesn't matter. There's always going to be someone who thinks, well, look, I had enough that, I bought an education where basically, and more often than not, I partied all through school and bought my term papers or even if I didn't, I did everything else through rote. I passed tests. Something that was set up to say that, okay, well, I'm part of you now.
Okay, so James, if you really believe that, explain one thing to me. Explain one simple thing to me. Why is Michelle Obama traveling the country telling people how to live?
Who hasn't? It's
no,
not
no,
just
no, 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 no.
First of all, she's not telling people how to live. She's
okay,
giving people a healthy choice. There's a healthy choice. Once again,
James, there was always a healthy choice. The healthy choice has been there for decades, my man. The healthy choice has been there for decades.
The healthy choice has not been there for decades.
Really?
It's
organic
not.
Food? Organic food?
Organic
James.
Food has only been only come into Nouveau Riche pretty much
Market.
Not too long ago.
James, organic food? It's over 20 years old, man. In fact, there were organic farms in the 70s. And in the 60s.
In the 70s. And
yeah.
I'm saying it has only been.
But it hasn't always been readily available.
Well, wait a minute. But healthy food has been around for 20 years. There are healthy choices. Remember when everybody started making what was called light? Anybody remember when the low-carb food started coming out?
Okay.
I mean, for crying out loud,
yeah.
Michelob
yeah.
Extra. Michelob Ultra. Sorry, Michelob Ultra.
And which is a beer.
It's a low-carb beer. It's a low-carb beer. There are low-carb, low-calorie choices out there. Fat-free
right.
is a cure has been used for over 30 years. Diet Coke, Diet Cola.
Over 30 years. Over 30 years. And in those 30 years.
Okay, but wait a minute, James. You're saying that she's giving people healthy, or don't say, oh, Lord.
She's talking about healthy alternatives,
yes.
James. But there's always been out there. Why is she telling people what healthy alternatives were? What right does she have to tell people what they should eat?
Well, she's not telling them. She's encouraging.
She's not telling anyone. She's encouraging.
Yes, no.
Thank you,
JC. They are telling people.
No, they can't tell anybody what to do.
And the thing is, George W. Bush what's his wife's name again? She did the same thing.
Who are you talking about? Laura Bush?
When she got into the healthy choices and the get out and exercising and things of that nature, all right?
No,
it was a hot button topic.
James, you're wrong. Laura Bush's initiative was reading. She's a former librarian.
That was her. She went
that
out.
Was her initiative. Nancy Reagan had an initiative that was say no to drugs.
Say no to drugs. So you're telling people that, whatever topic or whatever stand they wanted to make, you could still say that they were trying to tell people how to behave.
James,
correct?
when a woman says to you and says to the American public, why not have hamburgers and asparagus instead of hamburgers and fries? Come on.
Consider what you just said. She said, why not? Not that you need and you're going to.
James,
why not?
I don't need anybody to tell me what it is that I should have on my hamburger. It's none of your business.
On the same token, if I can cut in for a second, not until recently, especially in the past 2 to 3 years, that they started showing any concern, I mean any major concern, for the obesity in this country, especially when it came down to children.
That may
this
be true.
Anyone.
James, you're saying
anyone.
That they're not forcing? You're saying that they're not forcing, right? You're saying that Michelle Obama is not forcing anyone to do it. Are you certain of that?
No.
Hold on for me 1 second. You guys are using the word suggestions. Is that correct?
Right.
JC,
Encouraging?
JC, can you help me out for a second?
I sure will.
Please do a Google search on Michelle Obama's coalition with food products in this country, where she had a meeting in New York City with Mayor Bloomberg, and all of these companies came to New York City to have a grand meeting where they all decided to take 12% of the sodium out of their food that was processed. Kraft was there, Sara Lee. These were products that people buy in the grocery stores. And they all signed on to an initiative to take 12% of the sodium out of their food, an initiative passed by Michelle Obama, Michael Bloomberg, and companies across this country. So if you're telling me that she's only suggesting by making companies take salt out of their food, you're dead wrong. And please, JC, find the article. Please let me know.
JC, while you're doing that, While you're doing that, while you're checking out Michelle Obama and Michelle Obama alone, Google how many Republicans fell along with it. Please.
What does it matter? What does it matter that they were Republicans?
Because,
what
again,
does it matter
you're saying that it's only Michelle Obama.
No,
the
again.
The fact of the matter is that there's a general push here nowadays where everything has been, you can't smoke, you can't do this, you can't do that. But that's on both sides, man. You can't just blame that on
Michelle Obama or liberals.
I
am not attacking Michelle Obama's party affiliation. I am attacking a Michelle Obama based on the initiative. You use the word she is only suggesting. When you say, and I'm using your words, don't demonize me or characterize me.
I'm not demonizing you.
Hold on.
Say, you okay. should be demonizing her.
Hold on. What I'm saying to you,
there is a general push in politics, period.
James?
There is a general push in politics, period, to tell you who you can marry. What's going to make you happy?
James, I am demonizing her. I'm demonizing her for her telling you. Only thing I'm arguing with you about is that you said, okay, you said Michelle Obama is only making suggestions. She is not making policy changes. And what I'm telling you is it is not a suggestion. When you go on an initiative to different public schools across the country and you go into their cafeteria,
it is still
an initiative, Sally, because
until the policy is made, it is not policy.
Okay.
It is a suggestion.
But wait a minute. So if you tell me that she gets American companies to sign on to the idea to take 12% of the salt out of their food based
did
on...
Did she force them to do so?
No, she did not. Hold on.
She suggested, and they jumped on board. Correct.
Wait, James. It's an initiative.
Yes or no, Reese?
Oh, wait. It's making a suggestion is having a press conference and saying, boy, I wish the companies would do something about their salt intake. And then people respond by going, you know, Michelle Obama's right. Maybe we should take some of the salt out of it. But no, she went in there and politicized the issue when she got Mayor Bloomberg involved. Sure she did, man.
You politicize it
when you run around and tell companies what to do with their product. That's private.
She said, boy, I wish. And she got other people to follow along, right? She made a suggestion. People followed along. And then other people jumped on the bandwagon.
You're actually proving my point. No, James.
What was wrong with her doing that?
Okay, I'm trying to explain to you what was wrong with her doing it. Sara Lee, Tyson Foods, okay, Kraft, these are private industries. No one in the White House or affiliated with government should tell private industries what it is that they should do with their product. Let me explain something to you.
Hold on.
Let me just finish this. Today at a place called Heart Attack Burger, a guy suffered a heart attack today at a place called Heart Attack Burger. He suffered a massive heart attack. He lived, but he suffered a massive heart attack. Now, guess what? The best part about this story is that they're allowed to call themselves Heart Attack Burger. And that man had the right to go into that store and go buy a heart attack burger. And if he has a heart attack, it's of no fault but his own. But if Michelle Obama had her way, she would go to that heart attack burger and say, you're not promoting healthy eating, and it's not good for you to do that. You need to have healthier choices at your heart attack burger place.
You seem to be forgetting something, Mr. Hopkins.
Please.
Okay? It's because whether she's politicized it or not, and whether they jumped on board or not, okay, the fact of the matter is that those companies did decide to have healthier choices. But the choice in and of itself, or when the average person goes in, or the fat guy who went in and had a heart attack because he had that one burger too many, all right? The thing is, if there was salad on the menu, he still would have chosen the burger.
I understand that, James. You're saying that healthy choices, but see, James, here's where you kind of glaze over a simple fact. And, JC, I know I'm cutting you off. I'm going to let you in on this. I promise. Let me explain something to you. If I'm a business owner and I make a place called Heart Attack Burger and everybody's coming in and my profits are $1 million every year,
mm-hmm.
and every year I make $1 million. And then then Michelle Obama comes in and suggests and says, maybe you should have some healthier choices. Now, every month I have a stockpile or a stock that I purchase. I purchase tomato sauce, I purchase these tomatoes, these lettuce, and this. I purchase these foods. Now Michelle Obama turns around and says, make some healthier choices. Now I got to buy extra of things I normally wouldn't have in my
How are you buying extra?
Let me explain something
you're
to you.
You're buying tomatoes. You're buying this. All we're saying is put it there all together.
Why would I be
in winning?
What about asparagus and broccoli? What about corn?
Asparagus.
Yeah. But things that, remember, I'm selling healthier choices. That means I have a new product that I have to purchase. It's costing me more money. Now think about it.
How is it costing you more money when you're already buying produce? Are you not?
I'll put it to you this way. If I only sell Sam Adams at my bar and I'm doing well, and then Michelle Obama comes in and says, you need to start selling low-carb beer, and I start selling Michelob Ultra, I have to buy Michelob Ultra to sell, correct?
Okay.
I'll give you that. But then I buy the Michelob Ultra and nobody buys it. That means I wasted money and my profit declines. You get my point?
Okay. I'll give you that.
I'm hard
to also, but you have to admit that it wouldn't be Michelle Obama. Again, you just keep putting her as the face of the whole thing. I love how you try to do that. But, again, going with your point, if you were just selling Samuel Adams, okay, and you were doing pretty well. You wouldn't even consider changing unless your clientele, your profit base also said, hey, or didn't somebody came in a couple of times and said, hey, do you have Foster's? Do you have this? Do you have that?
And I would say, no. The place is
no. And then you lost your business.
No.
And you kept losing your business, so you decided to change.
Wrong. First of all, it's called supply and demand. Okay? Here's a perfect example.
I'm
going to give you a perfect example.
It doesn't matter what she says. If there was no demand, there would be no need for supply.
James, no one was behind her in the community saying, this is what we want. Unless you put 12% less salt in Kraft American macaroni and cheese, we're not going to buy it. People were buying it before, and they're going to continue to buy it.
Right. Kraft wasn't saying that, you know what, people aren't buying our product anymore. We need to make some changes. Hey, Michelle Obama's got a great idea. No, Michelle Obama made the first move. But let me give you another example. If I go into an urban neighborhood, right, and they're all selling, they sell Newports and Kools Salems. They sell Salems. If I walk into the store and I ask them, hey, can I get a box of Marlboros? And the guy goes, no, we don't sell Marlboros. And I go, why don't you sell Marlboros? I mean, that's a cigarette brand. And he says to me, nobody comes in here and sells Marlboros. I said, but I just came in and sell Marlboros. He'll look at me and he goes, what am I going to do, buy one carton of Marlboros and wait for you to come in here every time? I'm not going to increase my what if you move?
My overhead.
What if you quit smoking? Why am I going to purchase Marlboros that you may or may not buy? I need it to be a proven product that sells before I start selling it. That's what I do as a business. That's how I remain a successful business. So when there's a demand, I supply. You're telling me that if somebody walks into my Sam Adams bar and says, hey, do you have a Foster's? And I say no, that means now all of a sudden if I had 20 people who walked in a day and said, hey, man, you guys don't have Foster's? And then I would go, okay, you know what? Let's make sure we get a couple of Foster's in and bring a case in and let's see what happens. It seems like people like Foster's. That's called what? That's called revenue. I mean, it works as revenue, but it's also called research. You're saying that Michelle Obama comes in and says, hey, we're going to drop the salt intake, nobody's asked for it. Nobody asked for 12% salt out of their food. We're going to take it out there because we want them to live healthier. And they won't do it on their own. We'll help them do it for them. And that's where I say that it's an invasion of your private life. And forget
okay.
about whether or not she's a liberal. It's about whether or not it's right.
Whether or not it's right. The fact of the matter is, again, you know, and I'm surprised you're on this side of the conversation, of this side of the argument. Because, you know, you're
uh-huh.
always saying how people are getting fat and lazy and no one reads or things like that. You have somebody who's actually taking the initiative to
yes.
get this out there.
It's their right.
And you're still exactly. and you're saying that this is wrong.
But it's their right, James. I may complain about them being fat and lazy. I may complain about them not knowing their history or not reading up on the facts of this nation. I may hate the fact that they're liberal. I may hate the fact that they don't find out information on their own and rather have it forced to them.
But
the bottom line is
how you choose to say that it's only the liberals, because there are conservatives who do the same thing.
We're talking about what my beliefs are. My point is this, is that even though I despise people who do that, it's their God-given right to feel that and feel that way, and I will protect it to
wow.
the end of the day. I will protect their right to be ignorant. I will protect their right to be overweight. I will protect their right to be lazy, because that is their right.
That is their right, and that is their choice. It's not.
That's right.
That is their right, and that is their choice. And all we're saying is, but, once again, are you saying that the people who do... even though you have more fat, lazy people who don't read, okay, what about the people who go out and jog every day? Do you forget about them? Do you, I mean, it's just, where do you draw the line? What argument are you trying to have?
I don't draw the line on anybody and their individual freedoms under the law. The point is that we, as a government, under the Constitution, we are... here, the Constitution is here to do what? One thing is to protect us from our government. Okay? And our government in no way whatsoever should impede or intrude on our personal lives as long as we are not breaking the law or putting
then
other
I
lives
guess,
in danger.
Then I guess, a, then I guess, then I guess you can say that you can have gay or bisexual marriage. It's not hurting anyone. It's their choice to choose to do so, and but they should have the same rights and liberties as everyone else. Is that what you're saying?
Nope. Wrong conversation, James. You are talking about marriage, and marriage is...
How
marriage.
Are you doing? But one goes with the other.
No,
you can't
not,
have
marriage.
Six of one and half a dozen of another.
No,
I mean,
wrong,
well,
wrong,
no, you can't have
wrong.
Six...
Wrong. Marriage is a... Marriage... Is based on religion,
it's
not
based
on
religion.
Government. Yes.
Religion is still based on choice, is it not?
No, religion is based on religion. It's not based on government. This is what you love about the First Amendment, separation of church and state. And that's what marriage is.
And when have you noticed that there's been a separation of church and state? When has
James,
that happened?
James, does the church, is marriage a sacrament of the church, yes or no? Did the government come up with marriage or did church?
Okay, church.
Thank you.
All right, then.
Thank you.
Thank you for making that point. So if government didn't come up with the sacrament of marriage, why are you telling somebody who they can and cannot marry?
Very good. Because if the church decides that they will not marry you because they do not believe that a man should marry a man and a woman should marry a woman, since it is a sacrament of religion, the government should not supersede that
okay.
religious doctrine.
But
now,
religion
now,
has
James,
caught up. Religion
James.
Is starting to change that rule.
No. Religion's
religion
not changing the rule.
Religion
no,
has.
Not.
You now have homosexual priests.
James, again, that is
you
because
have,
that is, listen to me, what
changing.
You're talking about, what you're talking about is what some liberals who are within
liberals.
The clergy have
okay.
allowed. Yes, yes.
Okay.
All right.
But that is another argument altogether. JC, you had a point to make, and I made you wait for so long. Go ahead, JC.
My point was, you said at one point you said that the government shouldn't be involved unless you're hurting someone, and obviously it's become a problem where it's hurting a lot of Americans, and the government in the end ends up paying for it with the health care costs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody's gonna have to pay for the medical treatment that results because of the sodium.
That's right. Somebody's got to pay for that
and
cream.
No problem. Somebody's going to have to pay for that at some point.
I'm so glad that you gentlemen brought that up, and there's a valid reason for why that's happening. And it's very simple. This is exactly what Obamacare is about. What's going to happen to our federal government with Obamacare, and the reason why, and we're going to talk about that in the next hour. What's happening with Obamacare is very simple, and that is the reason why that Michelle Obama and the Obama administration is pushing this healthy diet sort of mantra within our society because of the health care mandate. And JC, you said it accurately. Someone else is going to have to pay for it for those who get sick, who may die. Who are those people? Yes, it's the American public. And what the Obama administration is trying to cut costs, because the American public and the government is going to have to foot the bill. And I will break that down to you when we come back. We're going to take a break, and we will get into the healthcare mandate, which we probably won't take a commercial today. We are so enthralled in this conversation. It's just one of those things. I couldn't tell you where to begin. It's
Reese.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
Ooh, love hurts.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California Hot Tub Rectal Gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
And what do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
Feeling that way? You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch. I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and when he's going to need your support.
Support my head! I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his shit outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lewis.
It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birth. Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking, and when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the radio on DogTalkRadio.com.
I wish Black History Month was over already. And I don't mean over at the end of the month. I wish Black History Month was over for all time. I know. I just spoke heresy in the eyes of liberals and Afrocentrics. I don't care. And I can hear them now, accusing me of making a statement I made so I can get approval and acknowledgement from white folks. Really? Aren't you the ones who demand to have a month set aside so white folks can acknowledge you? You're the ones desperate for recognition from white folks. You want these white Democrats to give you reparations and affirmative action and whatnot. I don't need any of these things you demand from white folks. I don't need a feel-good month set aside for me. I'm happy about being black all year long. I celebrate being an American all year long. I don't need a month set aside for me to boost my self-esteem. As the saying goes, Jesus already thinks I'm to die for. Why would I celebrate Black History Month when it would be racist to have a White History Month? I mean, to be fair, American history is pretty much taught to us as white history. So we really don't need a White History Month. But the reason why we don't know that much about Black history is because the school system is dominated by the Democrat Party, who has a history of segregating black people. So it only makes sense that they would segregate a month for black people. And in this special month, Democrats oversee what you know about black history. And one thing they don't want you to know about is the true relationship of blacks and Republicans and blacks as Republicans. Along with Black History Month, I do not like having channels like BET, when it would be seen as racist to have WET. But again, to be fair, television has always been white entertainment television. Hollywood is totally racist, and they're dependent on keeping people in a certain box so as to maintain their entertainment formula. White liberal mecca Comedy Central calls themselves throwing black folks a bone with their new comedy show called Key and Peele. Now, I get called a sellout while Key and Peele happily take money to promote the so-called black stereotype on Comedy Central. Look, y'all, I totally understand that we have some cultural differences, and it's a beautiful thing about our country worth celebrating. But giving a culture special treatment leads to resentment, not celebration. Y'all, there are many black heroes to celebrate in American history. I'm not saying you shouldn't acknowledge and learn about them. I'm saying that the black community has settled for a month as if it were a tribal reservation on a calendar. Or even worse, it's a February plantation where the Democrats milk their stock for voter loyalty. I'm Alfonso Rachel for Zone Nation, where we conservative blacks don't celebrate black history once a year. We make American history every day.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day, and we're talking about the big 64 ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity and all the...
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help sinned against you.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're live here on Block Talk Radio. The number is 347-308-8701. And, of course, we got into a very, very heated exchange. And, it's what it is that we do, of course. And that's why I love Kool-Aid Man. He is he's my debater-in-chief here on Reese on the Radio. He is my firm opposition. And, James, I must say... here on Blog Talk Radio, many people believe that you need to be my counterpart. They call us the Black Hannity and Combs, just to let you know. I'm sure you'd like that. By the way, I'm the Hannity guy. You're the guy who was, the radical, who ended up getting kicked off the show. Hannity has his own show. Combs doesn't have one. You know how it goes. I mean, it's nothing against you. Yeah, but you know the whole deal. So... we had this extended discussion about the, Michelle Obama and forcing industry to change the way that they operate in order to, make people live healthier lives. And that's what the healthcare mandate by Barack Obama, also known as Obamacare, is all about. JC brought up something about that. JC, if you could repeat what it is that you said, what you said about who has to pay for it. What was the statement that you said?
So at this juncture, it would be necessary for Michelle to get out there and make the suggestions
or the initiative.
Right, because obesity has become such a huge problem in our country. And that it's an epidemic to the point where one in every three or one in every four?
One out of every six.
Is it one of every six are obese? Is it that? Okay,
yeah.
That's the number? Okay, so one in every six American is obese, and you
said... Not everybody has health care, and somebody's going to have to pay for it when these individuals get sick.
Okay. So what we know about Obamacare is very simple, and that is that the government will end up footing the bill for your health care. Now, what will they do in order to keep you from having to go to the hospital? It's a very simple thing. If, James, if
you
have...
keep you healthy?
Yeah, keep you healthy. You're right. But how do they keep you healthy? Because think about it. If you make the decisions for your children, you alone, as a parent, don't make healthy decisions for your children. You feed them, you feed them potato chips and junk food. They go to McDonald's when they leave school. They eat pizza from the pizzeria, and they get overweight. And your child has some sort of health problems, and they're going to the hospital. Remember, they have government health care paid for by the government, and you have your child go to the doctor three times a month, let's say four times a month. They're there dealing with their issue. Doctors talking about their diets. Now the government has access to your health information because that's what the doctors are mandated to do according to Obamacare. So that information gets viewed by the government. In Obamacare, they will have someone on the local level from Health and Human Services, just like it happened to this four-year-old girl, will go into your neighborhood, will go into your home, and they'll say, Mr. Montgomery, We understand that your daughter's been to the hospital 4 times this month, and the doctor informs us that her health is an issue. We'd like to see what it is that you're feeding your child. We'd like to go over that because you are getting health care paid for by the federal government. And in order to curb the cost, you cannot just eat whatever it is you want. You can't smoke cigarettes anymore because you have government health care. So you have to live healthier lives. And in order to maintain that, those healthier lives, we have to come in and teach you how to eat and live. Are you okay with that, James?
First and foremost, I know I say that a lot, but first and foremost, we're not trying to tell you that you can smoke cigarettes. However, as you said in your scenario, this child or an adult, even an adult, you've been to the hospital how many times now? And you seem to be glossing over the fact that in the Obamacare, the stipulation is if it is found that a certain certain criteria, or, well, not criteria, but if it's found that, you know, you're going to the hospital a lot because you're breathing and respiratory problems and things of that nature, if it's brought down to a aspect of weight and you're going to the hospital a lot, especially a child, then, yeah, maybe... You know, you would think, the first thing you would think is diet. Okay, well, let's see if we can help with that. Let's see if we can, you may not know, or, but let's see if we can do something to curb these costs.
Right.
Not only to the American people, but to yourself.
Right.
Okay, but James, the point that I don't think that you're getting is, that's all well and good if that's your choice, but it's no longer your choice. HHS is coming to your house. They're going to knock on the door. You have to open the door. You have to allow them in your kitchen. You have to allow them in your refrigerator, in your cabinets. They're going to throw out all the food that they deem unhealthy and make you go out and buy all new food. They're not coming with healthy food. They're not coming with that in hand. It is going to be a mandate. You will have to abide by that, or you will no longer have this insurance for your child. And then if you don't have insurance for your child, you are going to have to pay anyway because you will be fined.
Or go to jail.
However, okay, but conversely, if you don't have the insurance, or if we're not making you do this or do that, and if it is your choice, sooner or later, one of us is going to have to pay for it. Because if you're not doing it, all right, there is still the overall need. This child is overweight. This child is going to a hospital and taking up space over, based on a choice.
So, James, so you're saying that you're okay with the government coming into your home and telling you how to live?
I'm not saying tell me how to live.
But that's
again,
what they're going
to
do.
James,
no
what...
one needs to tell me how to live. No one needs to tell me. All right? But
no,
there
not
are,
you.
As you said. As you said.
Okay, I'm sorry. Pat.
But as you said, there are people who don't know or who don't
I'm
care.
Sorry. Wait a minute.
I still have
James,
to pay for that. So should I just...
James, do you smoke cigarettes?
Yes.
Okay, so when the government knocks on your door, when HHS knocks on your door and they find that you're smoking cigarettes and your child is in the house and now your child is subject to that secondhand smoke, now you have to quit or you're going to have to give your child
okay.
up.
Well, actually,
why is HHS knocking on my door?
Well, they're knocking
because
on your door.
Child has been to the hospital 3 or 4 times, and that's not in a
oh,
month.
Oh, no, but not just that. Not just that, Mary. Let me explain something.
See, you're saying that like it's going to be some Gestapo action.
James, it's in the healthcare mandate. Listen, if they find out that you're going to the hospital, you go for an annual checkup, right? Once a year. If the doctor reports on his report that James is a smoker, okay, that information is then given to the federal government. And because you are African American, you're over 35 years old, there's a higher likelihood that you will have a hypertension, a likelihood that you will possibly suffer from emphysema or anything, lung cancer. That because that will end up being a cost to the federal government, that they will take that record that you smoke, come to your home, forget about the secondhand smoke of your child, that your health is then in jeopardy and will cost the federal government money because they said they cannot deny you coverage. But if you're doing something detrimental to your home, yes, a Gestapo tactic will take place. They will be able to come to your home and say, James, you are a
I didn't get that from what I read.
James,
I'm going to read it again because I still, what I'm saying is, again there was the health issue from the start.
Well, James,
there was nothing in there that said they can just come into your home anytime they want,
James,
for no reason at all.
Wait, James, it may not be, you may not read it as black and white as we say it.
Right? Oh, okay.
But James, I want to give you another example. When I had health insurance, when I worked at Intercom in Boston, I was looking at what I had to pay weekly, or every 2 weeks, I should say, what I had to pay out of my paycheck for my health care, which was given to me by my company. So I looked at the number, and I was paying roughly somewhere like $260, $270 every 2 weeks for my health care. That was my copay.
Was your insurance premium.
My insurance premium. I apologize. My insurance premium was $260 every 2 weeks. So I was paying a little over $500 a month for my health care. Now, I went to the girl in HR and I asked her a very simple question. I said, wow. I said, I didn't know that it was going to cost that much out of my paycheck for this health care. And she said, well, there are ways to bring that cost down. I said, well, what are they? So she said, first thing she asked me, do you smoke? I said, well, yeah. She goes, do you know that you can cut $200 a month if you don't smoke? And I said, really? And so I said, how do they know whether or not I smoke? And she said, when you go to the doctor, that information is given to your insurance company, just like it would if you were under the federally funded health care. And they will know. So the stipulation, when I read it, it was simple. I was allowed four cigarettes a year, and one cigar in order to meet the requirement to get that reduction. So now you hear the federal government, you think the federal government is going to give you free health care where you pay $12,000 a year?
Who said I wanted the free health care?
Okay, blah, blah, blah.
If I smoke and if I made the conscious decision to do so,
then you can't
then,
get that health care.
But you have to be on somebody's health care.
But you have to be on someone's health care.
You cannot, you will not be able to be without health care. It will be mandated that every citizen in the United States of America has health care. They are giving you the option to have this maybe possibly less expensive health care.
By the government.
By the government, which actually.
If you follow certain guidelines. But if I don't follow those guidelines, then I still have to have health care, then, all right, if I don't want to follow those guidelines, then I have to do what I have to do to maintain my health care, just like I maintain my smoking habit.
James, that means that in order for you to live the life that you wish to live, you're going to have to pay for private health care. If you can't afford private health care, which is the argument, which is why the government is intervening, is that there needs to be affordable health care for all, that if you want to take the affordable health care, you're going to have to abide by their rules and regulations. And their rules and regulations
isn't that why we have laws and certain things in that nature? Where are you not following rules and regulations in your life? First and foremost, tell me that.
About rules and regulations according to the health care plan, according to Obama.
According to the health care plan, or according to the judicial system, you still have to follow rules and regulations. Where
don't you? Answer that.
James, of course you still have to follow rules and regulations. There's laws. We all have to abide by them. And if you break them and get caught, there are consequences for that. We understand that. But what we're trying to – the point we're trying to get across is that now with Obamacare, you are going to be mandated to do things that you are not mandated to do right now because we live in a free country. Okay. We are no longer going to be living in a free country because it's going to cost – $230 to have this $12,000 a year health care.
Got it.
The same free country. The same free country that will tell you that you have to be stopped and frisked.
James,
Anytime they want.
Oh, don't go.
How is it that one thing is okay and the other isn't?
James, that's semantics.
Yeah, it's semantics.
Let's deal with the matter at hand.
Not stop and frisk. You're saying that it's okay for the government to tell you what to do if you're under the government health care. You're saying you're okay with that?
I'm saying that if that's my only recourse, then if I have to do certain things in order to reach those guidelines, which I have to anyway, then what's the difference between one thing and the other? That's what I'm saying.
So you're saying that you are okay with the government telling you how it is that you should live your life, yes or no?
The government tells me how I live my life already.
No. But not on the level that it will become.
James, it will tell you that you can't smoke.
You guys are so blind.
No, James.
What are you talking about?
There,
fat.
You cannot smoke. Listen, the rule is saying that you cannot smoke because you are on the health care bill. If you smoke, that you will have to pay a fine.
I'm saying if I smoke and I can afford my own cigarettes, doesn't matter.
Right, exactly, James. But again...
But it does matter.
It does matter because...
To the government.
The government, it matters to them because your poor health or your poor health choices are now their responsibility.
And not
only when it becomes an issue or a constant issue. No, that's not true.
That's not true. Even if you never go to the doctor, even if you never use that health care and you never go to the doctor.
If I never use the health care and I never go to the doctor, you're still telling me that they will find out somehow, some way, that through osmosis or maybe those drones you were talking about, Reese, that they're going to come in and say, hey, look, you know what? Even though you're not spending any of our money, you still can't smoke. I didn't get that anywhere in that. Where are you getting it from?
James, your audio's breaking up. I can't hear you, though, but here's where I'm getting it from. Okay, so you're forced to buy health care that you never use. That's one. You're okay with that.
And wait a minute. That health care that you
never use. Hold on.
James, can you stop for 1 second? That health care that you'll never use, that you have to have, even though you'll never use it, is a measly $12,000 a year, right? That comes to be $231 a week, and you're never going to use it, because if you use it and they find out that you're smoking, they're coming to your house.
It's going to cost you.
It's going to cost you maybe $460.
Okay. Now, tell me how that is different than how a medical insurance is set up nowadays.
James, I pay. Okay, let me tell you how much I pay, and my employer does not pay much into my health care. I pay as a single woman I have no health issues, but I smoke. Mm-hmm. I pay, mm-hmm. This is what I pay. I pay $91 every 2 weeks times 26 weeks which is how many pay periods there are when you get paid on a biweekly basis, amounts $2,366. I would much rather pay $2,366 for healthcare that I can use anytime I want to than pay $12,000 a year for something that I'm afraid to go use because I don't want the government knocking on my
door. Okay, wait a minute. All right, now, again, makes sense. Have this make sense to me.
And
you're
even
still paying for insurance, are you not?
Yes, I'm still paying for insurance, but I'm paying almost $1,000.
That you may never use, correct?
No, I do use it. I use my health insurance.
Now,
I
she's saying she'd rather pay the money she's paying to use it versus paying $230-some-odd for insurance she'll never use, is what she's saying. She'd rather have her deal with a private industry than have the government that she can never use because of fear that they might find out that she smokes.
And even, even with Obamacare, say it, that I can still hold on to that insurance. Well, this is the little tidbit that maybe everybody misses because I've read it myself. The only time your insurance will change, and I forget the exact wording that they used, is if and when something changes in that policy, then you will have to be written into this whole Obamacare. Well, we all know, for those of us that have private insurance, we all know that every single year, something changes every year. Either the amount of your copay changes, the amount of your coverage changes,
sure.
Something changes. So, yes, great. When Obamacare goes into play, then I still have my health insurance for a year. And then after a year, I have to go in, I get put into this pool just like everybody else will. And that is the trick that no one is picking up on. Yeah, I can keep it. I can keep it for 1 year because in a year when Kaiser changes or anything in their plan, I'm finished. And it happens every single year.
One of the biggest issues with that plan. But go on. James, talk to me about this. Talk to me about this because and Mary brought up a very valid point. From what it is that she pays yearly and what it is Obamacare is telling people to pay yearly, or let's break it down to weekly, what she's forced to spend weekly works out to be $180.
It's
$90 a week, right?
No, I pay $45.50 a week.
Oh, so it's $90 every 2 weeks.
$91 every 2 weeks.
She is paying $91 every 2 weeks. Obamacare is going to cost the average citizen
$460
every 2 weeks. And you're talking about you would rather have the government health care spending that kind of money, close to $500 every 2 weeks. $500 every 2 weeks for health care that you're afraid to use because you don't want them to know that you smoke.
Okay. No. What I'm saying
is, know that you might eat a Twinkie every now and then. Oh, but you won't be eating those for long anyway.
And remember, this is health care you have to have.
All right. Now, give me the alternative, or give me, again, the alternative of what we're doing now. You have insurance companies now that you pay and the rates go up or something changes every 4 to 6 months.
I'm willing to accept that.
I'm not done yet.
Hold on.
Okay,
go ahead.
Okay? Either every year, whatever.
What?
You have rates that go up. You have things that are – or they'll say that, okay, let's say they'll tell you what they're going to cover and what they're not. All right? How are you not going – or using insurance that you're almost afraid to use, or that you're not going to, how are you not paying for something that you may never use? And even if you do, you still run the risk of being denied.
James, yes. Okay, first of all, I work in insurance, okay? I credential for doctors. I work in insurance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, policies change. That happens. It's very rare that it happens every couple of months. It really doesn't because they can't do that. Once you sign on for a policy, a lot of places can only do it on an annual basis. A lot of places will only do it on an annual basis, okay? Second of all, if they tell me I'm still paying $91 every 2 weeks, if they tell me next year that I'm going to have a little bit less coverage for that $91, that's fine. If I say, okay, well then I don't want the coverage. If I don't feel like I'm getting my dollar's worth, I can say, okay, well I don't want to have this insurance anymore, and I choose not to. then I can do that.
Right.
I can get off the insurance, and I don't have
right.
to have
but
the insurance.
But you still run the risk, do
so,
you not?
James, I can
but
get off
But you're still running
the
risk,
you're
are
listening.
You not?
You're not listening to me. I can get off of the
I just want an answer to my question.
I'm going to give you an answer. I can drop my insurance anytime I please because it is my
mm-hmm.
choice at this moment in time in this country to have that
mm-hmm.
insurance or not. When Obamacare goes into play, if I drop my insurance, then I must pick up the government's insurance. I cannot be without insurance. And if I am without insurance, I will still have to pay a fine, which will then make me say, okay, I guess I'll just have to get the stupid insurance because I'm out of money anyway. This is my point. It's like, do you understand that?
I do understand that. But even if you drop, even if you make the choice to drop, all right, you keep saying that. You can drop it anytime you want. But if you drop it, you still run the risk of getting sick and having to pay for it yourself. So you still run a risk regardless.
So fine. So you're saying that you're okay. We've already understood that you're okay with the fact that Obamacare is going to be a mandated health care, correct?
The government
well,
should.
I would rather have mandated health care than none.
Okay.
Are you crazy? But how are you going to afford if you have a job that is paying?
How do you afford it now? It's rising constantly and has been for the last couple of quarters. All
no,
right, how are you affording it now?
I've got to stop everybody. Hold on. Let me say this. James, let me explain something to you. And I know exactly. I can see it happening. I know it's going to happen when I say this. You don't deserve health care if you can't afford it. You don't deserve it. You don't. If you don't have a job to pay for it, you don't deserve it. It's not a right. Health care is not a right.
Healthcare is not a right.
No, it's
if
not.
You're not healthy, how do you go to work?
You know what? You make.
If you're not healthy, how do you earn a paycheck? If you're not healthy, then you are. Then you're more likely to be on the dole.
But
correct?
Guess what? If you live healthy, you'll never be sick, right?
Okay. All right.
But you don't deserve
and,
it.
And
you think
no one
you
ever
deserve
said that.
Healthcare? You
Come
think
on,
you deserve
man.
It? You deserve it? You deserve health care insurance? You deserve it?
You deserve it on the back.
Everyone should have
back.
It, correct.
Everybody
I think everyone should have it.
James, everybody should have a home. Everybody should have a house. Everybody should have food in their stomachs. Everybody should be wealthy. Everybody should be able to take care of their families. But if you don't work for it, you don't deserve it.
And
you don't
again,
get it because you
without the one, there is no other.
James, then you're saying that just because some 15-year-old girl has a child, that child deserves to go to college. Everybody else does, right?
Everyone does, yeah.
No.
Why not? Because how are you not? All right, then you know what? The thing is, that 15-year-old girl is going to have a child regardless, correct? And if we don't outwardly try to stem the tide, okay, then all you're going to do is create a situation where the have-nots are going to outweigh the have.
James, nobody created that situation. That 15-year-old girl and whomever she was with created that situation.
Yeah, James.
Right.
I go to work every
correct.
Day. I pay taxes every day.
Yeah.
I don't. Why does my tax money have
remember
to go
what,
to that?
Remember what Barack Obama said about his own daughter? He said that that she shouldn't have to live with a mistake. So you're saying that if she does live with it, it's my responsibility? She does not deserve. Her child does not deserve what I have.
How does the child
does
have
not
anything
deserve,
to do with
the child
mistake of the parent?
James?
You just started saying the child does not deserve. Which
child
are you talking
about?
The child
does not deserve the child that is given birth. The child or the child who has the child does not deserve my income. They didn't earn it. All she did was have sex. How did she earn my money? She didn't earn a piece of my dough. Because, James, if that's the way you live, man, the next couple of dollars you get, just give it to anybody you see on the street. Give them half. Give them a percentage. Just because they're standing out on the street.
I don't give it a percentage now. Again, where are
James,
you not paying for something?
James, that's the point. That's my whole point. Just because you are paying for it doesn't mean it's right. Nobody deserves what it is that you earn. You earned it. You deserve to keep it. Now you're sitting up here telling me that if somebody makes a mistake, that they have a stake in my money. Just because they did. And you're saying that somebody who had a kid that they couldn't afford should get health care just because they had a child. Tell me how that's possible. All you had to do was give birth, and now you get a sum of my money?
And if that was the case,
how
is
that? Again, it's not like it's going into their pocket.
James,
it's not like it's,
if you have a child that you can't afford, someone must afford the child. And it's going to end up coming from entitlement programs like the health care system. If they can't pay, then it's my responsibility. I don't get to watch that kid go to school and come home with good grades. I don't get to watch that kid in the school play. I don't get to see that kid graduate from preschool and public school and junior high and high school. But they're getting a cut of my money. And you're telling me that they deserved it. All their mother had to do was lie on her back and put the feet up. And now it's my responsibility. And you're saying that the government should pay for health care because everybody should have it. Just because you're alive.
But and this is the thing. The government is not going to pay for the health care.
It's going to be you. Because the government is a zero-sum game. They've got no money. Everything they get is from you and me. So the government pays for nothing. And now you're telling me that somebody who's some ne'er-do-well, who's never ever earned their keep, just laid up and got pregnant, and now the world owes them something. And you think that's okay. You don't deserve squat. F your health care. If you are, listen to me, if your kid's eating paint chips and licking lead walls, you don't deserve a dime from me. Get your kid from licking the walls. Give him some chicken McNuggets and shut your mouth. I'm surprised Casey didn't chime in on that one. I thought that was cruel and unusual. But when we come back, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about the Obamacare mandate and talk about how he got caught, or how his administration got caught in a lie. And I want to know, from the Kool-Aid man himself, how's the president going to get out of this one? I want to know.
Yeah!
I want to hear how President Obama's going to get out of this one. Because this one's pretty bad. It's really, really bad. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll be back.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues
and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
I love this music, man. Under My Thumb, Rolling Stones. It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back. Right here live on Blog Talk Radio. At blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio. And of course, send an email to ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com and log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. Check us out on Facebook. Facebook.com/ReeseOnTheRadio. Anything else?
You can call us at 347-308-8701.
That's right. There you go. So, we're talking about the Obamacare mandate. And, see, what I don't like about this, and Mary brought this up, and why I think this is so relevant, is James said that there were things that he hadn't read in the Obamacare, and said that's not the impression that he got in some of the things that he read. But there are a lot of things that the general public did not know because mainstream media wouldn't report it, and they refused to, because, of course, they're in the bed with this camp. They're in the bed with the Obama campaign.
And how many pages is in this health care plan?
Looks like 19, 2,500 pages. It's a little over 2,500. I apologize. 2,500 pages.
So you'd have to take a week off of work just to get
through
it.
Pretty much just to read it. And the scary part about this is that, you know, during the time that it came out, you know where I was. I read the whole thing there. I read the whole thing. I had it shipped to me. 2,000 pages. Had it shipped to me. And I read the entire thing. Because, you know, I had a lot of time on my hands. So I read the entire thing. So I know what's in the bill and the quote-unquote BS that's going along with it. So today there are several states that are arguing in the Supreme Court about whether or not Obamacare is constitutional. In other words, can the government force its citizens to purchase health care as a mandate? In other words, you are forced to buy a product, a consumer-based product. It's health care. That's what it is. The healthcare industry was not created by government. It was created by private industry. Now, a lot of people don't know this, and I know JC does. Hartford, Connecticut is the capital of what industry? JC. Where JC lives in Hartford, Connecticut, that is what? Come on, JC, where are you?
Insurance.
That's right. It's the insurance capital of the world.
Formerly the automotive capital of the world.
Sorry, say again?
So we were formerly the automotive capital of the world.
Only you were back in what, before 1836?
Yeah, roughly somewhere there around there, yeah.
Somewhere around there. And I know my history about Hartford, Connecticut. But it is the insurance capital of the world. Now, this is a private industry. Your companies like Aetna, those companies, those all start as private industry. Now, that being said, the Obama administration creates this government mandate where people have to purchase health care. And the argument in the Supreme Court is whether or not government can force you to purchase something. Because we're not just giving you health care. We're not saying health care for all and it costs you nothing. You have to purchase it. And if you do not purchase it, you are breaking the law. Now, you have to buy car insurance, but you don't buy it from the federal government. You buy it from private industry. And if you don't have insurance on your car, then fines are levied against you. You don't go to jail if you don't have insurance on your car. There are fines that are levied against you. You only go to jail if you're an unlicensed driver, not an uninsured driver. You see how it works? No one's ever going to jail because their car was uninsured. See how that works? If you're an unlicensed driver, which is mandated by the government. See? But now insurance is going to be mandated by the government and there will be a fine. So the Constitution says no government should force you to purchase an item. So here it is where Barack Obama is saying, yes, he can. It is constitutional. Their argument in court is, if anybody under $200,000, this is an absolute fact, their argument in court, the Obama lawyers or Department of Justice is saying this. If a person making under $200,000, a family making under $200,000, if they do not pay the federal mandated insurance, that they will be fined. And that fine is a tax. And the Constitution states that a government can tax its citizens. It has the right to tax its citizens. And that's what makes Obamacare constitutional. Now, you're saying this in front of the Supreme Court. Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, Clarence Thomas, John Edwards. That's right, the Supreme Court. You're in front of nine people saying, justices, this is constitutional because it is a tax on its people, and we are allowed as a government to tax our people. and then somebody threw a wrench in it.
Thank you, and I appreciate your testimony today. Appreciate you also being here from the private sector. You probably feel a little lonely sometime over at the White House in that respect, but I'm glad that you're here coming with that experience. One point, though, you did just say that there are no tax increases for those folks who are making under
$250,000.
So
families under $250,000, individuals under $200K.
So if I'm a part of a family that does not buy health insurance in violation of the president's health care program, and I have to pay because of that, that is not a tax. That is not a tax on me.
The Affordable Care Act saves money.
I understand that, but is that a tax on me then if I do not pay that, or is that not a tax?
I'm not sure I'm following the question.
You said there's no tax increases if people make under $250,000. If I make under $250,000 and I do not buy health insurance as I'm required to under the Affordable Health Care Act, is that a tax on me or is that not a tax on me?
Well, this is...
A moment ago you said there's no tax increase.
There aren't. There would be.
So that's not a tax?
No.
That's not a tax. Okay, that's just want to be clear on that because that's not the argument that the administration is making. Let's move on before the Supreme Court.
You heard it, folks. That's not the argument that the administration is making before the Supreme Court. In front of the Supreme Court, they are saying that this is a tax and we as a government are allowed to tax its citizens. But this was the head of the Obama administration's budget. This is the budget director. Contradicts the President of the United States and their lawyers and says that it's not a tax. It is a fine. So I ask, is Obama duping the American public by saying they're not being taxed, but telling the Supreme Court justice that it is a tax and doing a bait and switch? I ask you, JC, what do you think? JC? JC, are you there? Okay, maybe not.
What's up?
James? No, I was asking you, JC. The Obama administration is saying to the Supreme Court that it is a tax, and that's why it's constitutional, and the head, the budget director, is saying that it isn't a tax. Is there a bait and switch?
He's clearly talking out of both sides of his mouth.
But what is it? Is it a tax or isn't it a tax? Or is it
a
tax to you? Is it a tax to the Supreme Court so they can get what they want because it's the law? But to the American people, we're going to lie to them because if we tell them that it is a tax, that they will immediately disavow any knowledge and try to destroy it.
Right.
James, what about you?
Okay, all right. Now, fines and things do go for towards taxes, do they not?
No.
No.
No. That's called semantics. What Romney did in Massachusetts was he raised this is my favorite part. If you were handicapped, you were blind, you were deaf, if you were in a wheelchair, you used to get your handicap ID for nothing because, of course, you were blind and handicapped. In order to raise revenue, he put a $10 fee on you getting a handicap license and a placard. And he refused to call it a tax because he said it's a fee. But that's exactly what it is. It's semantics. You had to pay for it every year. Every time you had to renew it, you had to pay for it. And that is a tax. But he called it a fee to avoid using the word tax.
This is Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney of Massachusetts. That's right.
Conservative. Republican. Okay.
No. A rhino.
No.
A rhino.
No, yeah.
A rhino.
Mitt Romney,
well, yeah, he calls himself
really,
a conservative.
That's what he calls himself.
Yeah, he calls himself a conservative.
Not
so that's fair
really
enough.
He calls himself,
but I don't.
But he's going, he's, obviously, that's what he calls himself. And,
hey, look, he wrote Romney Care. He wrote Romney Care. That's why I don't support him. He wrote Romney Care.
Okay.
Which is the same thing as Obamacare. So, again, answer my question. What is Obama doing if he's telling the Supreme Court justice it is a tax, but he's telling the American people it's not?
And then the head of...
Is he telling it, or is this one dude doing it? Because I haven't heard Obama say anything about it. Is this one dude doing so, or is Obama doing so?
James.
Well, he's Obama's spokesperson.
That's right.
On this subject.
He is the head of, he's the head budget director.
And they can't make mistakes either?
No, 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 no. He's carrying water for the administration. The guy asked him four times, and he couldn't answer it. He said, I don't understand the question.
Thank you, and I appreciate your testimony today. Appreciate you also being here from the private sector. You probably feel a little lonely sometime over at the White House in that respect, but I'm glad that you're here coming with that experience. One point, though, you did just say that there are no tax increases for those folks who are making under
$250,000.
So
families under 250,000, individuals under 200K.
So if I'm a part of a family that does not buy health insurance in violation of the president's health care program, and I have to pay because of that, that is not a tax. That is not a tax on me.
The Affordable Care Act saves money.
I understand that, but is that a tax on me then if I do not pay that, or is that not a tax?
I'm not sure I'm following the question.
You said there's no tax increases if people make under $250,000. If I make under $250,000 and I do not buy health insurance as I'm required to under the Affordable Health Care Act, is that a tax on me or is that not a tax on me?
Well, this is...
A moment ago you said there's no tax increase.
There aren't. There would be.
So that's not a tax?
No.
That's not a tax. Okay, that's just want to be clear on that because that's not the argument that the administration is making. Let's move on before the Supreme Court.
So what do you have to say?
I'm still not sure about the question either. Is it a fine or is it a tax? But if a tax goes, I mean, if fines go to taxes, then isn't one and the same? So
no.
And if it is, why not say so? But
yeah, why not say so, it's a tax? He said that you said earlier that it wasn't a tax. I just want to be clear. Are you saying it's not a tax? And he reconfirmed, no, it is not a tax. But then the representative from New Jersey says that's not the argument being made by the administration to the Supreme Court. The argument made by the administration is it's a tax and we're allowed to mandate health care because we are allowed to tax our citizens.
And that's the argument. It's like, is this against the Constitution? Is this against the Constitution? They're saying it's not against the Constitution because they can mandate us to do this, and if we don't, then they can charge us a tax. But they're saying that if you are a individual making less than $200,000 a year or a family making a combined total of less than $250,000 a year and you do not purchase this affordable health care, which I love the way they say it's affordable because it's totally not. If you're making $250,000 a year, then yes, it probably is affordable. But if you're not, it's not. And so they're saying, you know, he's asking him, is this a tax or is this a fine? Because you're saying you're not going to tax me if I'm making less than the allotted amount that's set forth.
And this is the argument that's been made over and over again.
And if it's not a tax, then you're mandating me to purchase something and you're fining me, which is then against the Constitution. So in one breath, they're saying it's a tax, and that's the way we can get away with being able to mandate it. In the next breath, they're saying, no, it's not a tax, but if it's not a tax, then you cannot
make that argument to the Supreme Court.
Exactly, because then it becomes unconstitutional. So which one is it, is the question. And obviously, the budget director or whatever his...
The man in charge.
...set doesn't even know what it is.
He's completely stepping all over there. No.
What'd you say?
That's it? That's it?
Think about it. Just think about it, okay?
Are you kidding me? That's the best you got?
The best
You've been arguing tooth and nail the whole night, and that's it?
Oh, geez. I mean, I argue tooth and nail over things that I feel strongly about. And
okay, but
I
and
have
this
merit.
Thing, Jim, don't you feel strongly about the government? Excuse me, about the government mandating you to live a certain way of life? Don't you feel
certain
strongly about that?
The
don't you feel strongly about
anyway.
The fact? No, no, no. But
I want him to finish that thought. Please, the government mandates that. Well, the government does that anyway. Please, elaborate.
Yeah. I mean, let's see. Okay, back in Virginia or in a lot of places. You were saying earlier about you can't be forced to buy a purchase a service, correct? Or make
product.
A purchase.
Right.
Correct. Am I getting
yeah.
that? Okay. You can't rent a home. All right, or you can rent a home, but you can be fined if you rent a home and you don't have electricity. You can be fined if you don't have, as you brought up, you can be fined if you don't have auto insurance.
Hold on.
Since when can you be fined?
When
you don't have electricity. I live in the state of Virginia.
You can be fined. You can be fined if it's found out
that
you're living without your lights and you're paying your rent without your lights. You can be fined for that.
What or is that if you're stealing your neighbor's electricity?
No, if it's not even if you're stealing your neighbor's electricity means you don't have
your neighbor's
yours.
Paper.
Okay.
I want to elaborate on this. You're saying that if I rent an apartment and I make my monthly payments on my apartment and I do not have electricity in the apartment, that I refuse to spend money on electricity.
Or that let's say you live in this apartment, you have this apartment, it's in your name. But you basically live abroad for work, so you're never there. So what do you need electricity for? Because you're not there.
But you still have to have
electricity.
Still have to have it.
Who said that?
What government mandate is that? There's no government. There's no government mandate.
Is that a state law?
Look,
where can we find that?
I know where I live. Yes, it is.
What would be the law that you broke? JC, please look this up. What is the law that you are breaking if you do not have electricity in your home? If I'm not there, let's say I have a summer home, and the summer home is a place that I own, and I don't rent it out over the summer, and I don't rent it out during the winter. I only go there during the summer, and I do not have electricity traveling to the home. I turn on the electricity when I'm going to be there, say a week before summer begins. I purchase electricity to make sure that the home is powered.
You still have to have it in your name. You still have to have it in your name. And what they do is, in that instance, I forgot the term. It still has to be in your name. You still have to have it. It's off. They know it's off, but it's still in your name, and you still have to have it.
Okay, James.
What are you paying?
Let's say I tell the electric company I have power that can be turned on. Right, I have this summer home. I turn off the power. I have a disconnection fee that I pay. A week before I'm about to go, I have the electricity turned on so that all the power's done with, and I pay a connection fee or a turn-on fee. But if during the winter and the winter, spring, and fall, you're forgetting something.
Okay, I said if you're living in the home. And you don't have electricity, you can be fined for that.
How do they know that you're
living in the home? How do they know I'm living in the home?
It's a home that I purchased. I don't have to tell the federal government or any government for that matter that it's my summer home. It's just a home that I purchased. The only people who know that I purchased.
I didn't make up the rule.
Please, JC, please help me. Tell me that you found something honest, because I need that backed up. Is there anything else? Any other things that the government mandates you to purchase?
And is that a government mandate, or is that a
even a state and local?
Or is that
state,
a
local, still government?
That's fine. I'm
but okay. So what happens? What happens when you have electricity in your apartment or in your home? And you can't afford to pay the bill, and they turn it off.
Hold on. JC is on. What do you got, Jay?
I'm still looking. I can't find anything on it that requires you to have it, that mandates you to have it.
I didn't think you could. All right, listen. Let's go to the top.
Is this if you live on the government dole?
It sounds like it. It sounds
like it. Is this
like
a Section 8 thing? Is this a...
If you have children in a home?
All I know is that
I know that in the winter months, like, they can't cut you off if you got children.
That's well, I do know that, too, but you don't get fined for it if you can. Let's take a break. It's the top of the hour. We'll be back shortly. Stand by, guys.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity, all the...
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
We're back at Reese on the Radio, live on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. Just a minute after the hour, Eastern Standard Time, just 9:01. The number is 347-308-8701. And you can catch us, of course, on all of the social networks and, of course, ReeseOnTheRadio.com. We were having a discussion. There is some more stuff about Obama I want to get into, but we're trying to find out some information on whether or not there's any truth to you being fined. Okay, will you be fined for not updating your driver's license? I found that. Power factor, convert, nope, we got nothing on that. Runaway power, nope, I got that. Be fined for not having electricity in VA. Can you go to jail for not paying your taxes? Of course, that's there. Electricity meter, I'm not seeing anything. Can electric company shut off your electricity if you have children? That's there, and that's what JC brought up. I'm not seeing remotely anything that is saying that the government can do that. You are not forced to buy private industry anything. Because remember, your electricity is not provided for you by the government. It's provided for you by a private entity.
James, have you been duped?
No, I have been duped.
Have you been duped?
And actually, I just asked, no. I just asked, and I do need to clarify here because I did go down a little bit of a wrong path. It is if you are in an apartment complex, and if you are in that apartment complex according with your rent, and in your rental agreement, you have to have your electricity. If
okay,
that is found
so that,
not,
that,
then they
and,
can.
And that, yeah, the management company can take action to
right.
you, and that's probably
right. So I was wrong on that one.
And that probably has to do something with like fire alarm systems. That probably has to do something with, you know, the sprinkler system or something to that nature. So, okay, that I can understand.
All right, but they can still take but it's still an actionable offense.
But the management company, it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, that's
it has
the management company. Exactly,
government.
That's the management company, not the federal government or even the state local, state and local government. They can't do that to you. Again,
no, the only thing that I find that comes even close is that you end up with Child Protective Services in your life for not having electrical power.
You can't have a child in your house and you don't have electricity. You don't have working electricity. That's the only thing that I could possibly think of.
A lot of emotional abuse.
Right, exactly.
California.
Right, absolutely. But another thing that actually was brought up, and I want to bring this up. James and JC, let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
When Barack Obama said that the United States government's economic issues were dire. Do you guys remember the term that he used? He said this was the greatest what, James, if you can remember what he said. This was the greatest what since the what? What did he say?
The Depression.
No, recession since the Depression.
Can you, James, do you remember that quote? Barack Obama's during his campaign, and he said that this was the greatest what since the what?
I think that's been answered, correct?
Greatest recession since the Depression.
Say again, there.
The greatest recession since the Depression.
Right. Is that what he said?
That's
what he said.
James, can you
okay. Asked, answered. Enough.
Okay. Barack Obama said that this was the greatest recession since the Depression. Can we all concede that is pretty dire? The recession was very dire. Probably one of the worst times in our American history. Is that fair to say?
Fair.
Okay, is it fair to say?
Between 2008 and 2010.
So please, somebody explain this to me.
Take a listen. You're getting pelted in the media. They're showing this video over and over again of you in February 2009 saying by the end of your first term, you're going to reduce the deficit by half. We're not there.
Well, we're not there because this recession turned out to be a lot deeper than any of us realized.
You admitted it.
What is that? He said, okay. We're not there because this ended up being worse than we ever realized.
Okay. You're getting pelted in the media. They're showing this video over and over again of you in February 2009 saying by the end of your first term, you're going to reduce the deficit by half. We're not there.
Well, we're not there because this recession turned out to be a lot deeper than any of us realized.
So if the recession is a lot deeper than anyone realized, how much deeper could it have been if we were in the worst recession since the Great Depression? Are we worse than we were during the Great Depression?
I think you know what? Now you're just taking it too
far.
No.
I'm not, James.
I mean, even though it's
James. It's the worst recession since the Great Depression.
The Depression being the end all be all, though the absolute lowest. All right, we've gotten a lot closer since then. I mean, you know, we haven't been anywhere near the Depression until now, and we haven't been this bad off since the Depression.
Under whose presidency?
James, the greatest recession since the Great Depression. That's his words. He said it over and over and over again. The guy said that if we didn't pass an $804 billion stimulus package, that it would be worse than the Great Depression. In essence, he said that he knew how bad it was. And here he is openly admitting
You're getting pelted in the media. They're showing this video over and over again of you in February 2009 saying by the end of your first term, you're going to reduce the deficit by half. Right. We're not there.
Well, we're not there because this recession turned out to be a lot deeper than any of us realized.
Deeper than anyone realized? He was the one who told us how deep it was. He said
okay, but on
term.
The same token, on the same token, Reese and Mary, on the same token, hold on, let me go here. He inherited it, first off, and he accepted responsibility for it.
And he also, in the same token, he also said that by the end of his first term, that he would decrease
the deficit
in half. And
then
what is
finally everything
Mary,
Larry,
it
wound up being
wait a minute,
lot more than he thought it was.
Let me finish my statement. He said that he was going to decrease it. Now, I voted for him. Again, I will state this for those listeners that haven't been listening the entire time that we've been doing the show for almost two complete months. I voted for him. I was there. I cried when I voted for him because it was so touching.
You voted for Clinton, Mary, and he doesn't feel everything he said he was going to do.
Excuse me. Let me finish.
Mary?
He said Barack Obama, the presidential candidate and then became the president, said that he would decrease the deficit by half in the end of his first term. We are not.
You didn't know that at the beginning
of
his presidency. You didn't know that.
Wait a minute. Yes, I did.
What do you mean?
What did not know?
I don't believe that she knew that then.
Yes, I follow Barack Obama, voted for him because
no.
I was
JC,
so...
I'm
accused of becoming a Johnny-come-lately.
No, I gotta stop you guys.
Did
Hold
you
on.
Call me a Johnny-come-lately?
I gotta stop you guys.
Okay.
Hold on for me one second.
I'll let you
talk. Let me explain something to you, okay? When the president says that it was a lot worse than he thought it was, okay? What does that mean in plain English? What information did he not have? He hired every academic.
He admitted that he failed. I mean, he admitted it.
Oh, he admitted
what
that he failed.
What more did you want from him? He admitted that he failed.
Thank you. Jay,
and you're the first one to say that he's not taking responsibility. Here he clearly does, and you still have a problem with
him. No, he doesn't. He doesn't take responsibility. How did you not know?
JC says it best. He bit off more than he could chew, right?
How did you not know? He bit off more than he could chew. Well, first and foremost, can we remember the fact that we were also told that there wasn't one? For how long?
Because the definition of a recession is two.
Again, no responsibility. And then as soon as they got out of office, there it is. All right? There it was. There it is. It wasn't coming down the pike long before
Please, you're making excuses.
Now you're making excuses. Who's not taking responsibility here?
So then what did he do? He made blind promises. Is that what he did? Is that why you're saying that he went into office?
What politician hasn't? Name one that isn't doing so right now.
Answer this question.
Please.
Where is the deficit now? Is it cut even by a quarter? Is it even cut by a quarter?
No, it's not. But your conservatives and your Republicans would have done better? Is that what you're saying?
Larry?
You're saying that somebody's going to do so in their first term. Name one candidate right now on the Republican or conservatives who can do it in their first term. Please.
I'm not saying that. I'm asking you, where is the deficit right now in the third of his term that he promised.
And it is.
Mary?
It's still his first term.
Mary?
It still is his first term.
Where is the deficit day? Where do we stand?
I'll answer that question. I'll try to answer that question in one moment. I'm going to be honest, I don't know it. I'll be honest, I don't know that answer off the top of my head, but I'm going to ask you, Mary, how much is the deficit?
We are $3 trillion in deficit.
Are you sure we're $3 trillion?
This year alone.
Pardon me?
That's in this year alone.
No. Mary, how much were we at the time that the promise was made?
Oh, I love it. Okay.
Mary, not you.
No, he didn't ask you.
I said, Mary, do you know? Yes or no? She says, go ahead. You can just tell him whether or not you know or not.
No, I don't. I don't know the number off the top of my head.
Okay, then you voted for him uninformed. You're Johnny come lately.
JC,
you can refer to me any way you want to.
But
the facts are the facts as they stand today.
She's taking responsibility.
You voted for
that,
him. You made the bed, now you're going to lie.
But she can and he can't?
No. I'm saying that.
Now, I'm not the president of the United States, sweetheart. He is. I didn't make any promises.
JC and James, let's understand one thing. The one thing that Mary has done, Mary has said, and what she did was, she said, I voted for him. She said, I cried. She says that she was really, really caught up in hope and change, and she believed in Barack Obama. She did say that. She said that she found out what the truth was. And her crying is now because of the state of the world. But that's the only reason why I'm bringing this up. It's very important. JC, I ask you to do me one favor real quick.
Uh-huh.
In 2008, Barack Obama said, and I quote, that because George W. Bush brought the deficit or spent $4.8 trillion, it was unpatriotic. The President of the United States today, now remember, we're talking about George W. Bush in 8 years. Brought the deficit up to $4.8 trillion. A president who is in office now in 3 years, just over 3 years, has managed to bring the deficit to $5.3 trillion. He called George W. Bush unpatriotic for bringing the deficit up that high, and this man has spent more money in less than half the time. Now, that being said, and you have to take it for what it's worth, that's a fact.
No, you're right. You're right. The numbers don't lie. The numbers don't lie.
Let's make it even better than that, James. I'm going to throw the numbers at you. The national debt is at $15 trillion. If Barack Obama, it is $15.6 trillion. If Barack Obama is responsible for $5.3 trillion of that debt, that means that in 3 years, the President of the United States has managed to accumulate a third of our deficit in the entire history of this country.
Right.
The country's been around 235 years. And
right. He spent more than all the other presidents combined.
All of the other presidents combined.
Yeah, I know that.
I know you understand that, JC, but I want to hear it from James. He managed a third of the national debt in 3 years, more than all of the presidents. That's George Washington to George W.
Okay, I have said before, and I will say
George
it again.
Washington, George W., all right. Carter, all of them combined.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
One from the last.
And also, the fact is,
go ahead, Jane.
I said before, and I will say it again. I have said before, and I will say again. All right, it costs more to fix a mistake than it is to make one.
Oh my God, you sound just like your president.
You didn't really say that, James. So how about this? Where should 804 $6 billion.
Oh, wait, hold on. Okay, hold on. And first and foremost, when he said it was unpatriotic, you're cutting off things. He said it was unpatriotic to spend all that kind of money, all right, and not spend it on our country. That money was spent on a foreign policy that failed miserably.
James, you're wrong.
All right?
James, you're 100% James. You're 100% wrong.
So, but even if he's not wrong, wait a minute. So where has the $5.6 trillion that he has spent in the last...
$5.3 trillion.
But at
least he spent it here instead of trying to create a war or go in someplace else and help anybody else's infrastructure.
How has that money helped any of us? Has that money helped any? No.
It hasn't helped anybody.
It has not. It has hindered
James,
us.
James, I'm glad
because
that
China owns us.
James, it's funny that you say that. You say that George W. Bush spent that money on a foreign policy. The most honest answer that I can give you is that the Afghanistan war began in December of 2001. And the Iraq war began in May of 2003. In the time that those two wars took place under the Bush administration, the price of those two wars came to $797 billion. That's just under $1 trillion. So that now I ask you this. That means that George W. Bush spent $4 trillion on this country. Now, my question is that Barack Obama did not spend trillions of dollars on foreign policy. You just tried to start a narrative that said that you believe that George W. Bush spent trillions of dollars on wars overseas, but he turned out to spend less than $1 trillion on a war. Barack Obama, in his first month, spent $804 billion. That's more than it took George W. Bush to spend in eight. He did it in a month. $804 billion in February of 2009, a month into his presidency. So you tell me how you can compare the two.
I'm having a family issue right now.
Ah, goodness gracious, right on time.
Now, the question was, how can I compare the two again? I compare the two that at least, even if, what the heck was that?
Nothing.
At least, when he did so with the intention of getting us back on track instead of telling us he already had it and telling us next to nothing. The man at least said he was going in a certain direction. He tried to go that route. It cost more, especially when at every turn he was hindered. There were writers. He had to make compromises time and time again. And these things were directly driven to drive things up or to hinder him. I still say we're a lot better off with Barack Obama than we ever were with Bush.
In other words, he had to spend around a Republican, was it Senate and House?
No, he did not. No, he did not. And if, this is the part that I don't. JC, you really want to go there, dude? I'll let you look at it yourself. Trust me. Anybody remember when the Democrats took over the House and Senate? What year it was? I remember.
2008.
No. Try 2 years earlier. 2006.
2006. Okay.
2006. They won the election. That's right. In 2006. They took over the House and Senate. That's how Nancy Pelosi became the Speaker of the House, in charge of the Congress. Harry Reid, he became the head of the Senate Majority Leader. Majority Leader.
Okay.
Nancy Pelosi, Democrat from California, Harry Reid, Democrat from Nevada. They took over in 2006. Who was the president in 2006? George W. Bush, right? Who handles the purse strings? Who handles the purse strings and passes the laws and legislation and the spending packages during that
God.
Time? Who does it?
Yeah, because of, you know, back then it was also considered unpatriotic to even speak against the president because he sent us into a war.
Hold on, again, first
you
of all, they
even,
speak.
You couldn't even say anything
who,
against the
James,
president. It was almost, it was almost like
James. Who didn't speak against George W. Bush?
Yeah,
now,
Harry
I personally, myself. Now,
and who didn't pay for it?
Everybody.
Who didn't pay for it?
Called him a liar. Bush lied, people died. That's what the Senate was saying on the floor. Bush lied, people died. That's what they were saying on the Senate floor. They were calling him Hitler. You act like you didn't see those people at the Republican National Convention in New York City, MoveOn.org, Project Pink. You forget those people? Project Pink and MoveOn.org.
I also know that those same people got vilified. They got vilified.
No, they didn't.
They got called every name in the book.
Cindy Sheehan, whose son died in Iraq, became a national hero in the media. Cindy Sheehan, who is now part of Project Pink, and is one of the biggest spokespersons for Project Pink, became a national hero. Remember when she stood outside of Crawford, Texas, the compound of George W. Bush? The press was out there standing with her rally. Again,
it was a teacher. I think it was a teacher whose wife was in the CIA, and because he spoke out, she got outed. All right, the Dixie Chicks got
by who? Outed her. Yeah, I know
again.
Who outed her. I read the book. I know who outed her. Her own husband.
Her own husband outed her.
Yes.
And you believe it? Okay.
Believe it. There's documented proof. That's the reason why no one's going to jail. The only person who ended up going to jail was Scooter Libby. That's right. They tried to blame it on Karl Rove, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney. They tried to blame everybody for it. And it turns out, after the evidence came out, who outed her to the Washington Post, it turned out to be her own husband. Read it up. Trust me. Now, again, I'll go back to my point. I'll go right directly to my point. George W. Bush had no control of the House and Senate for 2 years, 2006 to 2008. The people who controlled the purse strings, who passed legislation, who passed bills, who passed the bills that involved money, was the Democratic Senate. And the Democrats ran the House and Senate from 2006 until November of 2000, pardon me, January of 2011. That means that Barack Obama had control of the House and Senate in the first 2 years of his administration. You've only dealt with Republican opposition for a year and 1 month. The man's been president for 3 years, James. Explain it.
I'm saying... You know,
and by the way, the
president for 3 years.
The Democrats
and we are still.
The
man's been president for 3 years, and we are still a lot better off.
How
you can't convince me.
James, he got no,
he failed. He failed with the stimulus package.
This is the same regime that let the country go broke in order to have a pissing contest.
Which regime would have let the country go broke? You mean the Bush administration?
No, it was
the Republican Party. Remember, James, the Bush administration was a lame duck presidency for the last 2 years in office because nothing he wanted could get passed because the House and the Senate was run by Democrats.
Because before that, when he was given the blank check, he ran the country into the ground.
And the Democrats took over, and what did they do, James? Did it get better? because the recession began in 2007, James, didn't it? When the Democrats were running the House and Senate.
Ran the Democrats and running the House. You know.
And how many jobs were we losing a month in 2008? 750,000. And the Democrats were running the House and Senate. And Barack Obama had the Democratic House and Senate when he became President of the United States. They continued to run the House and Senate until they lost their election in the House in 2010, November of 2010. So the Democrats have been running the show for 4 years, during the Bush administration into the Obama administration, and the country got worse. And how in the hell did Barack Obama, could he possibly say that it was George W. Bush's fault when it was his party running the purse strings? How did it happen, James? The recession started in 2007, December 2007. That's when
we were running the purse strings. We were running the purse strings, okay? But he was the American president. He was the president.
He
But as the president,
James, they're his political opposition. No, no. You see, here's the thing. You are saying right now that the Republicans are stopping Barack Obama at every turn. That's what you're saying right now. So, again, what do you think was happening with George W. Bush when he had his political opposition running the House and Senate? He couldn't get anything passed because his political opposition was keeping him at bay. He was a lame duck president. So when Barack Obama said,
lame duck?
Yes, that's what it's called, James. That's a term. A lame duck president. I didn't create it. That's what the term is.
James,
when the president has no political power because he has no political power in the House and Senate. Sorry, he has no power in the House or Senate. He's a lame duck president because he can't get anything passed because Democrats will not allow it. So my point is this: Barack Obama can say right now, we can't get anything passed because the Republicans are holding opposition. The Republicans won't compromise. So what do you think was happening with a Republican president and a House and Senate run by Democrats? What do you think
was happening? He basically now has a lame duck presidency. Last two years of his presidency.
No, not last 2 years. It's been 1 year.
To the end of his presidency.
If it's a lame duck presidency, why are you blaming everything on him?
No. Because the first 2 years of his presidency, when we were in that downturn, everything that he wanted got passed. Everything that he said was going to improve our situation, he got
passed. The stimulus package, all of it, it all failed.
Everything he passed failed. And that's the reason why the Republicans...
I agree, I understand that.
The Republicans got control of the House because everything he did for 2 years didn't work, and the American public said no more. And that's how the Republicans got to take over the House. You're missing that point. And most people are trying to say that the Republicans just took over the House. The American people saw the failure in this president.
We voted them in.
They voted these people in to stop him because it wasn't working.
Well, somebody didn't agree with something along the way. I'm speaking just on the political sense because somebody, and I have to look into it myself because I don't want to really misspeak and not really know my facts on it. I try to if I bring something forward. To at least know a little bit something more about it, and I'm going to have to look into it. But and maybe you could answer because you follow it a lot closer than probably any of us, and that is if the Grand Ole Party was as great as it is, and I've always thought it was ever since I started voting myself and following politics because I consider myself a Reagan Republican. Why is there a need for the Tea Party, a split in the Republican Party?
And, you know, it's a very valid question. The reason for the Tea Party is this. Republicans lost their way. Republicans became more in tune with trying to adhere to mainstream media and mainstream and what was deemed mainstream ideology. We have what are today called social Republicans. And social Republicans are saying that, you know, we're Republicans, but the Reagan era is over. True conservatism, that's over. We need to brand ourselves to be more acceptable or accessible to mainstream liberal elites.
We need to be more accessible to the New York. Let me finish.
Why would they need to do that?
I'll tell you why. Because they were being berated and excoriated through the media, and they wanted to have a better PR campaign. And what are considered the establishment of Republicans, they wanted a better relationship with the mainstream media. So they started to tone back their rhetoric about conservatism by saying things like, Reaganism is gone. That's over. It's an old and dying ideal. We're more middle of the road. We understand that, there are some people out there who are against abortion, but I kind of believe that sometimes abortion's okay. I think abortion's wrong, but I think that there are some things that we can sort of accept. They tried to compromise because they were sick and tired of being criticized by mainstream media for being out of touch.
If they were right, why would it matter if they were being criticized?
Well, if they were right
and everyone else felt the same way, okay, who were they trying to cater to?
I'll tell you.
And why would they have to cater to them?
I'll tell you, James, that's who it was. What changed the scope of the Republican Party were the independents. Independents played such a huge role during the 2000 election.
And the American people. See, you're still taking the American people out of the equation. So you're telling me that it was just
James,
all politics. The American people had nothing to do with it or say about
James,
it.
James, the independents are the American people. Those are the people I'm talking about. Independents. The people who started voting independent. The independents were very, very visible during the Reagan era as well, but they were smaller. But during independents started to come to light during the 1992 election between Herbert Walker Bush and Bill Clinton. And it became common fodder or commonplace for reporters to say, in order to win elections, you have to win over the independents. The independents, because you have 42% Democrat, you have 42% 42% Republican, and the middle people, if you can sway the independents over to your side, then you can get the election. But independents are deemed to be more liberal than they are more liberal than they are conservative. So in order for you to win over the independents, because most people who were independents were coming from the Democratic Party, how do we get that vote? So more Republicans figured they had to go mainstream and become more center-left or more left of center, so to speak, in order to make sure that they got that vote. That's what happened. And that's what it is that changed the dynamic of our voting process. So Republicans today and people who call themselves true conservatives, they're not true conservatives. The true conservatives who are out there are people like Michelle Bachmann, Rick Santorum, maybe even Newt Gingrich, but not Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney's not a true conservative because even he said in 2002 when he was running – 2001, I believe it was, when he was running for Massachusetts governor, even he said in an interview that he wanted the people of Massachusetts to know that he is not the regular run-of-the-mill Republican, that he is a very centrist Republican who has a lot of mainstream views. And that's how he got elected in the bluest state in the land. And Massachusetts is the bluest state in the country. And in order for him to get that vote, he had to pull himself from the right wing and become more centrist. So that's why when I hear people like him, there are a lot. John Huntsman, another one, very centrist. These people are not Republicans. They're rhinos. And that's Republicans in name only. Look at Mayor Bloomberg, nanny state mayor of New York City. He is from Massachusetts. His mother still lives there. He is as liberal as they come. He only registered as a Republican to get the Giuliani faithful, who's a true conservative. And in some cases, Giuliani is a little liberal. He's what we call a social conservative because he believes in gay rights and he also believes in right to abortion. But his fiscal responsibility is very conservative. So, I mean, that's the breakdown. And again, JC, I mean, that's the best way that I can explain it to you.
Okay. I'm almost curious. I'm trying to figure out myself because I tend to watch politics usually around election time, not necessarily the national election, but even locally, and ever so often I try to peek in on the nationals. Because I mean, more I'm more so entertainment news and all that good stuff.
Yes,
the stuff that matters. The stuff that matters.
The stuff that matters.
He says entertainment news.
Who cares about health care and Social Security?
Yeah, I don't want to bore everybody. So you know what? Speaking
well, health care didn't help Whitney.
No.
James, wash your mouth out with soap.
First official Whitney Houston joke.
Did you hear?
The woman hasn't even been buried yet.
Listen, did you hear?
Save it for when we come back, because I want to do some entertainment news. I want to talk about Chris Brown and his tweets. There are some people out there who are hating on him behind the Grammys. I want to talk about that. And, of course, we'll talk about some Whitney Houston news. So let's take a break, and then when we come back, we'll get into that. All right? It's Reese on the Radio right here on BossTalkRadio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock-solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, okay. Twinkle.
There won't be no funny stuff,
Mom. Hello,
Mary.
It's Reese on the Radio. We are live on blogtalkradio.com. And we've only got 15 minutes to the end of the show, which is all I'm willing to dedicate to entertainment news. So I'm going to let JC run this portion of the show. That's right, JC. I'm only giving you 15 minutes.
Take your 15 minutes of fame and run with
take it.
It
on, yeah. Take the 15 minutes of fame.
Oh, anyway, well, what I have planned, my new business venture, is going to take me more than 15 minutes.
No,
I'm not going to
reveal
it here today. But,
If this has to do with wrestling, I'm pulling.
Do you agree, Montgomery?
Huh? I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
I said it could have a lot to do with wrestling.
I'm with you.
Don't let them back you down, man. Don't let them back you down.
Go for it, JC. We'll let you run it. Then I'll ask you the question.
Wrestling is real. People are fake.
Wrestling is not real, you people. I don't care what you say. Okay, so, all right, I'm going to let you go into what it is you're going to go to, but promise me we're going to get into the Chris Brown tweet and some latest Whitney Houston news. What do we got? What's this thing you're talking about? What's the new venture that you're going to be a part of?
Oh, no, we're not going to talk about the venture. I can't do that yet. It's too soon.
Oh, okay, all right.
Because it's not fully thought out. I want to talk about the latest Whitney Houston news.
Please, go into the Whitney Houston news. I'd rather talk about her than the Chris Brown thing. But, yes, let's go into that, and then we'll end the show with Chris Brown. What's the Whitney Houston news that you got?
Bobby Brown is not allowed to attend the private funeral.
Are you kidding me?
What?
I kid you not.
And who mandated that?
Yeah, like, where did that come from? Is that
More than likely Sissy Houston.
Yeah, that, you know, and this has been reported often. That
she didn't like him. She's never liked
right.
him.
She never approved of their marriage. She never approved of him. She's always had issues with him. And, of course, with the running rhetoric, even in Boston, in Bobby Brown's hometown, I got an email from our good friend Gene Pinkham, who said that he was at the Italian Social Club in Malden, Massachusetts. And he said, people at the social club said, if Bobby Brown were to walk into the Italian Social Club like he ever would, they said he would not be a welcome. Now, we're talking about old Italian and Irish guys hanging out there, loving Whitney Houston, but hating their hometown, a member of their hometown, Bobby Brown, said that he would not get any love in his own city of Boston. They blamed him for the Whitney Houston death. And I can see Sissy Houston turn around and say that you don't want him there, because I think that even she blames him for her drug abuse and her downward spiral.
And boom goes the dynamite. Did I not call it?
You did.
Mr. Hopkins.
You did call it, James. You were one of the first people who told me that they were going to find a way to blame Bobby, and Bobby was going to be responsible, no matter what it is that anybody said. Her personal
I mean, despite the fact that even after Bobby divorced from Bobby five, 6 years ago, she's running around with Ray J and God knows who else.
Okay.
And it was Bobby Brown's sister who came out right before the divorce and had released pictures to
the National
Enquirer.
That's right. She was the one who pulled the drug test on the counter at the Coke House. That's right, the Coke House. Yeah, she was the one who released those pictures to the National Enquirer that first exposed Whitney Houston's drug use. And, you know, I believe there was some sort
of it, the depth of it.
The depth, right. And there was even sort of an intervention that took place with Whitney Houston. But she still continued to use. I mean, we're happy to hear that it wasn't, you know, moolah smoking or cocaine use or...
No. Fall back. You see...
They've had
the autopsy. They released the body. Had it been anything like a heart attack, aneurysm, anything of that sort, we'd already know.
Mm-hmm.
They have not released the official cause of death yet.
And I know
that's not
going
to come to the toxicology report.
But we said we won't know that until March. So
right,
it's official
4 to 6 weeks.
And they're saying that they already have the autopsy report. And we're not going to know till March?
Right.
The toxicology report.
The toxicology report.
That's in March, April. But we do know that according to TMZ, she did have prescription drugs that she took with alcohol.
Right.
So until we get...
They're questioning her doctor, pharmacist.
Who was her doctor?
I don't know, but this is going to be Conrad Murphy Part 2.
Yep.
It's going to be involuntary manslaughter, and he's going to, of course, get 4 years, if not more.
Let's hope it wasn't his partner.
Because she died in California.
Exactly as Michael Jackson did. And, you know, 4 years is the maximum that you get for involuntary manslaughter. There's a strong possibility of that. But here's my final question. James, you owe me something. You owe me something, right?
Oh, what was that?
Reese is the Sabahaba. Come on.
Reese is the. Hold on. I'm drawing a blank here.
I told
what
you
was
that
I was
if we
supposed
found,
to say.
That's right. If we found out that it was a drug overdose of any kind and that drugs were involved, that you were to say that I am
oh,
the
right.
smartest
Had
man you know.
But we haven't found that out yet.
It's already been confirmed that drugs were involved. We know that.
No.
I mean, if they, listen, James,
actually,
if they released the autopsy.
What I've heard is she drowned.
They released the autopsy. No, there wasn't enough. There wasn't enough water in her lungs for it to have drowned.
Okay.
That must be said.
Lethal dose of prescription drugs and alcohol. And that's what it's going to turn out to be. That's exactly what it's going to turn out to be. But no. I'll wait for the autopsy and the toxicology to finally come out. We'll
Unless she died of natural causes. That's the only other thing that can be left.
What natural causes
yeah,
do
what
you
would
die
be natural?
At 48 years old?
Yeah, what would be natural?
A lot of people die of natural
people
causes.
People have heart attacks, people have
but
strokes,
not,
people have...
Okay, but if you've already had those health problems, she probably had health problems because they were drug-induced.
Right.
When you do drugs, when you smoke crack, when you sniff cocaine, when you take Xanax pills, when you take any kind of drugs, there are side effects to everything, and it causes things in your body to break down. Your liver. Her liver.
Try explaining that to the mother who just lost her 3-day-old SIDS baby.
Well, I say that you should
natural
never
causes.
Ever drink, you should never, ever drink while you're taking lithocoxidone. You should never, ever take that drug. Not that that's a real drug. You should
It was also revealed, that when they were blocking young Bobby Christina from going into the room, she was seen and identified by someone in the lobby as having a fit downstairs banging on the elevator door saying that, and she was cursing that she was sick of this mess. She's tired of going through this. She can't believe she's going through this again. And they can only speculate that she's meaning her mom's relapses. That's what they thought that she was talking about. Because they wouldn't let her in the room.
Yeah, but she has her own drug addiction problems.
Yes, according to National Enquirer, they have photos of her sniffing cocaine.
They have photos of her. They have photos of her being produced with a mirror held by a Caucasian man's hands.
Right, being fed cocaine. I don't know what to say.
She's a beautiful voice. She's a hell of a singer. She sounds a lot to me like she has that sultry Adele type voice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the girl sings.
I'll have to look it up.
Well, let's get on to Chris Brown, who got
What did this fool do?
Well, according to a lot of tweets that came out after his Grammy performance, that people like Jack Osborne, the son of Ozzy Osborne and Sharon Osborne, tweeted that he was upset that Chris Brown was receiving accolades from the Grammy people and allowed to perform. He also won a Grammy on Grammy night on Monday, and it turns out that was it Monday or Sunday? Sunday, I apologize, on Sunday. He won a Grammy Award, and that the Grammys would celebrate Chris Brown in any way on the third anniversary of his assault charges against Rihanna. And Melissa Lambert had also tweeted that she wasn't happy with Chris Brown as well, because she thought that the Grammy people were celebrating him when he was a person who abused women. What started a lot of this, and JC, you and I talked about this, was some of the tweets where young women were watching his performance and tweeted, if he could punch me in the face. He could beat me anytime. The people were celebrating the fact that he abuses women. And
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
He got into a fight with one woman.
James.
He beat the daylights out of her.
Not only her, James, but he beat his mom. I have no respect for him.
What?
And he was probably taught that by his down-home country daddy, because they're from Rappahannock.
He was exposed to that. He was exposed to watching his mom get beat down a lot. He did come from that kind of a home.
Right.
But he beat his mom in Miami. But
I didn't know that story. I have to look that one up. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he beat his mom in Miami. But I mean, how long are they gonna keep holding this kid down? It's been 3 years.
What do you mean, when are they gonna keep holding him down? He held himself down.
Yeah, and Ike Turner.
It happened and it's over with.
Ike Turner never recovered.
Ike Turner just won a Grammy before he died.
Ike Turner never recovered from the public vitriol for what he did to Tina Turner. He never recovered from that.
He just won a Grammy before he passed.
But this was years of abuse. That was years of abuse. And I still think there's a lot more to that story because.
James, when you say there's a lot more to that story, I'm almost certain. I mean, I don't condone it, but I know.
I don't condone anything.
The stuff that came out of her mouth left her mouth to his ears is some of the nastiest, most rotten things you can say to her. It doesn't give you an excuse.
What she said to him, it doesn't constitute him beating her.
No.
And he probably hit her first.
I still say, first and foremost, he was driving, okay? He was driving. He wasn't just going to pull over for no reason, for no reason and just start wailing on her.
She hit him first.
I'm willing to bet that she wasn't just sitting there.
You know, he wasn't just driving along and she was just, you know, berating him verbally, okay? I'm sure once she saw it, you know, this is a chick from Jamaica, all right? She didn't just go, oh, well, you know, I'm seeing this tweet or I'm seeing this email and just start talking to him. I'm
it
sure
matter.
She started,
I'm a victim, James. I am a victim. A victim.
If she hit him first, he should have knocked the ass out.
Of domestic violence.
Well, but,
and I've said a lot of things to a lot of people. I've probably pushed a lot of people to want to beat the daylights out of me.
But I'm sure she hit him first.
That beating.
You know what? Even if that is the case, nonetheless, what Chris Brown did after the fact was that he went on his Twitter account and said he doesn't care about all the hate. He won a Grammy. He was boasting about him winning a Grammy and not acknowledging the fact that some people might be upset, and that may have been a little bit out of line. But you know, again, that's you know what is he going to say? Look, whatever, guys. You know what tomorrow is?
It's Therapy Thursday.
Thursday.
And I got a problem.
Oh, you know, we
no, we'll take care of it tomorrow.
We're going to get therapy Thursday for everybody tomorrow. Stick around. Please get you back
I don't know what to
in
do
another 21 hours.
Scrambled
eggs. On the radio tonight.
They're calling again. Scrambled egg all over my face. What is a boy to do?